Tonight, the AV Club's John Tatey continues our countdown of 39 weeks, 5 days until Game of Thrones. Then later, Brandon Weatherby checks in once again from the Republican National Convention. And finally, find out how you can win a pair of My Son the Waiter tickets. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, man, that was dicey. Esmeralda, what is happening in the Kennedy? Construction and an accident? I don't need that to happen.
Sorry. It's on the inbound side, though.
Blame
so.
The Kennedy.
Yeah, that's the side I needed.
Yeah, well, sorry.
No, my...
That was the closest I've ever seen you, Kennedy.
Yeah, that
the
was...
Music was playing.
Intro music was playing. To be honest, I heard them go to... They threw to the break. Rob Martier was doing the news. I was in the car as he threw the news. And then he went to the break. And I'm like, okay, this should be enough time for me to get up the loading dock, up the elevator, through the doors. I really thought I would come in the middle of traffic. But I was going to text Craig and tell him to say, Esmeralda, slow down with the traffic.
I was going to say you should have Facebooked me.
Yeah. I know.
And I would have.
I thought she actually
elongated it.
I actually wanted to see if I could do it.
I had a feeling when... our lead-in show ended at 11 o'clock sharp.
Yes, that would be the
happen.
One time.
I started to think, uh-oh, we might be in
That's going to be the night. Well, and I do use these traffic, instead of Google Maps, do you use anything like Waze? Because it's kind of an interesting app.
I have been using Waze recently, yeah.
Yeah, and it gives you alternate routes. And it told me this sort of zigzaggy thing, and I gained a couple minutes. It told me to get – I was coming from the Edens all the way from the North Shore, mm-hmm. and I merged with the Kennedy, and I heard Esmeralda say, blah, 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 traffic starts at Addison.
Uh-huh.
And I was like,
maybe you should have listened to my blah, blah, blah.
No, I heard your blah, blah, blah long before the junction, and I was like, well, I don't know what my options are because the arterial routes aren't necessarily the best way to go. If you have to get all the way down here – you know, at that point, am I getting off, are the side streets going to help me? And Waze had me get off Esmeralda. It was like, get off at Addison and then like the zigzag through, I think, an alley.
Waze loves the zigzag.
Oh,
yeah.
And then to get back on at Kimball. And then
I'll tell you this much. Your best bet usually after Montrose, because this happens to me a lot, mm-hmm. is.
Don't tell everybody. Wait, do you want to tell me off the air? I'm kidding. Go ahead.
No, just that you take, I take the diagonal street. So Elston.
Yes.
Or I go Milwaukee, mainly Elston because that one's a bit quicker.
Right. I agree with that. Especially at this time of night.
Right.
I probably could have zipped down.
Yeah, it's a lot of industrial,
mm-hmm.
so there's not a lot of traffic.
You can go right past the Morton Salt, like little mm-hmm. Warehouse thing.
And Elston hits you to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And so you get on Milwaukee, and then you can shoot down into downtown.
And then you're right there. You're all
right.
set to go.
And you get to pass Blommers.
I was sweating a little bit, but is there an accident past the Ohio feeder ramp? Because there were a lot
yes, around Hubbard's Cave.
Ah.
We're hearing there is a report of an accident there.
Yeah, that happened. That was where I was. That happened. Thank you, Craig, for being patient. I called Craig from the Kennedy. I'm like, here's what's happening. It's going to be close.
We do. We have a backup plan in place for this kind of thing. And John was testing his microphone, which was awesome because he was ready.
I was trying to see which button I
would have. Yeah, ready to make sure to jump in. But we would just call you.
Yes.
So I was about to say, and Patty Vasquez is on the phone.
On the phone, but I never. Right. I'm trying very hard to avoid that.
No, you nailed it.
Yeah. It's only what's maybe twice this year, a lot more last year, because I've had a lot of performances right before the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, this was good. This worked out very well.
I ran into some traffic on Lakeshore that I never run into
really?
When I come down here for this. Yeah.
I wonder what's going on.
Do you
on?
Know what's going on there, Esmeralda?
Hey, Esmeralda.
Well, it depends, because the Cubs game.
Cubs.
Oh,
Cubs.
And
I
that's
see.
Crazy busy over there.
I
There's
see.
A lot of... Well, where do you come from? North?
Yeah, I come from... I get on at the Lawrence exit.
Okay, yeah. Cubs.
Cubs. You know how confident I was that I would make it on time? I had stopped all the way out in the North Shore. I had like an hour to get down here, which is like I only need 35, 40 minutes from where I was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I had stopped at a Wendy's to get a
Frosty.
A Frosty.
Yeah.
And I was so confident that I could make it to just before the intro music that I was like, and I don't have the lid on it anymore. I'm like, I'm not even going to run. I'm going to go with this open Frosty. Yeah, I did not. Pushing my luck is what I'm saying. Sometimes you got to make choices. Either I'm going to let Craig call me, what's the Frosty? or
it was chocolate. You said chocolate.
Chocolate frosting.
Those are literally delicious. So that makes sense.
It wasn't going to be any good anymore when I left the show tonight. So.
Right. Yeah. It's a
waste.
No,
you
got to
eat it while it is frosty.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. These are the
I love a frosty too. Don't you, Craig?
I love frosty. It can't be melty. It's got to be a frosty.
No, no. It could just a touch of melt you want on the spoon.
Right. Because you know, and then there's that moment where you're like, do I want it as a shake? They used to give you a straw and a spoon. It's like you can.
It's rough as a shake. It's you got to pull so hard on that straw.
Which is why they switched to you know, they give you the option of a shake, right? So I think so many people thought they could drink a frosty, and you really can't.
Oh, so they have a separate product now that's more
shake-like,
more liquidy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Speaking of, by the way, Craig, this reminds me when he said you really got to take a draw, a strong draw. I need to send Dan Shagrew a out of context from Nick DiGilio's show.
Okay.
Violetta was talking about. She said, I want to say it was at 3:51. She said, I can't get past the lips.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah, now, does this count as a double out of context if I say what she said?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I'll send yours
too. It's getting a little meta. Yes. But
this will be a Nick D Spies, at least. This should be a Spies.
Now we're trying to milk it. Let's just not.
All right.
I just sometimes need to do things on air before. I sent like a temporary email, but I don't have Dan Shagrew's actual email. I'm sure it's like
what
D Shagrew.
On earth
yeah, I can give you that.
I apologize. John Tatey, Nick DiGilio, who is one of the great hosts here at WGN Radio.
Sure.
He has a great segment on Friday mornings. He has Dummies in the News, mm-hmm. and then he does Out of Context. And then Nick D Spies. So those are his three. And then also it's Nick D Thursday. Is it Jams? Fly Jam Fridays. Yes.
Fly Jam Fridays.
Yeah. So that's all going on. It's a big party. And so listeners can, if they hear something that sounds a little bit a little tawdry, maybe a little risque, it depends. And you don't have, it doesn't have to be the, I unfortunately just say the actual things. So not like mine is generally, mine
there's
is
nothing
in,
unfortunate about that.
It's very in context.
Yeah.
But yes, I was like, ooh, I got one. I'll send that to Nick D. And then listeners can send those into to Dan Shagrew so that you can hear them on Friday mornings.
Oh, how fun is that?
And then when people hear other hosts talking about Nick D, then they also send that in. But this is now we're really going towards being a little gratuitous at this point.
Yeah.
I apologize to everyone involved. We actually were in Nick D Spies right after we told a Nick D story last week.
Wow.
Which it was like right I thought
that's amazing.
Oh, I felt like
it was it that story?
It was the one about the overpass and
got it.
The truck drivers ripping off the tops of it. Right afterwards. I was impressed. I'm like, somebody's quick.
They're fast.
Mm-hmm.
What truck drivers ripping off the top?
You know when they don't have enough room to make to clear a viaduct?
Were you talking about that? I forget where this place is, but there's this on the internet. There's that bridge, that overpass that apparently is notorious for trucks running into
there's
it.
There's actually quite a few. For me, I've noticed a lot of them on North Avenue. That used to happen all the time. Especially if I was running late for a show at Zany's on Wells, there would be a truck that was, you know, just completely either you could see its whole top of it ripped off or tilt or actually like wedged sideways.
You used to see that once in a while at the Lincoln Tunnel in New York.
Oh, really?
Which would just be mayhem, as you can imagine.
Oh, God. Yeah. Trap everybody.
Yeah.
Everyone's just like waiting to go. I really, what we learned from one of our truck driving friends was that, you know, when they repave the roads, they don't adjust the height on the overpass. They don't because the pavement, if they don't scrape the pavement and then put it on another layer, they just layer it on top of each other. Now the street gets higher.
I never thought of that.
Exactly. Apparently neither did some of the truck drivers. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is the editor-in-chief of the AV Club. Thank you so much for being here tonight, John. Tatey.
Oh, my pleasure, as always.
Are we the wrap-up for you after watching the Republican National Convention?
Tonight it is a cleanse. Yeah, I'm cleansing myself of the GOP convention.
Are you feeling like you needed to bathe?
Because it's bizarre and vaguely humiliating exercise. Yeah.
I've heard it's stranger than in past years, and I wonder because I don't think I've watched any of these very closely. I didn't get a chance to watch Melania. Gosh, I really got to get her name right. Melania Trump give her speech. Obviously, I've now seen it repeatedly, but only in comparison.
Only the Michelle Obama sections. Yeah.
Yes, that's really the only. By the way, that was what Violetta was referring to when she said she couldn't get past the lips, where Melania's.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, she said that makes sense. I guess they look a little. They look glossy, little frosted gloss, which under lights, I mean, you really want to make a choice if you're gonna go with a flat matte color, so that because the gloss absorbs light, so then really you're almost radiating back toward your audience. These are, and also frosted eyeshadow is a problem.
Huh. Well, and if you're just doing like a greatest hit speech, you don't have to worry at all about the words you're saying. It's just all the other stuff.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
It was unfortunate because let me tell you, after Rudy Giuliani, she followed Rudy Giuliani, who was practically foaming at the mouth at the podium.
I mean, screaming.
Just unhinged.
And then there were like close up of his lower teeth, too, which was unnecessary, but also disturbing. But
yes, yeah. I wasn't going to mention that, but I wholeheartedly agree. Look, I watched it and not knowing about the plagiarism in real time, I watched it and thought, wow, how hard it must be for this person who never had any interest in a political life to make this speech in not her native language to a huge crowd. Putting all the politics aside, I was kind of proud of her and impressed that she, you know, was able to. She was the highlight of the evening before all this nonsense started coming out. So I feel bad for her, who I feel got, you know,
she deserved
badly
better.
Served by whoever was helping her with this speech.
It was just a quick and the immediacy with which social media works now is sort of startling, because immediately hashtag. Famous Melania Trump quotes.
Right.
Melania. I'm going to get it right.
You'll get it.
I'll get it.
Tonight, The Daily Show, right after Donald Trump Jr.'s speech, had a tweet that compared parts of his speech to an essay that had appeared in The American Conservative this May by F.H. Buckley. Donald Trump Jr. said, "Our schools used to be an elevator to the middle class. Now they're stalled on the ground floor. They're like Soviet-era department stores that are run for the benefit of the clerks and not the customers."
And that's from Buckley's essay.
And Buckley's essay said, "What should be an elevator," talking about higher education, "what should be an elevator to the upper class is stalled on the ground floor. Our schools and universities are like the old Soviet department stores whose mission was to serve the interests of the sales clerks and not the customers."
Okay, here's my question to you. I'm sorry. I feel like you have more.
That's it. That's it.
Okay, that's specific. And what you do there, if you're going to say, as F.H. Buckley said in his essay.
You just cite it, and then you're in the clear.
But here's my question to you. Is it possible, and Adam Selzer put this on Facebook, I wonder if this is a scriptwriter's like Morse code to us, a plea for help, save me, or I'm going to blow this whole thing up. Is there somebody sabotaging this from the inside of the Trump campaign, sending us a message?
From the beginning, there's been this conspiracy theory that Donald Trump is a false flag operation for the Clintons, right? That it's a whole, sort of half joking, but this joking conspiracy that Donald Trump is actually like trying to get Hillary Clinton elected. And it's just, I mean, of course, no, that's crazy, but it's so believable because everything is so weird right now.
Right.
This convention, to watch it, it's not just that I disagree with the politics. Look, I've disagreed with the politics and GOP conventions in the past, but I've been able to watch them and at least understand that these people had a point of view, even if I did not share it.
I thought Sarah Palin's speech, when they introduced her as the vice president, you know, the candidate, I thought she did an amazing job.
Good
plus
speech.
Plus her teleprompter went out during that speech.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And so, I thought she did an amazing job. You can disagree with somebody and think, well, that was impressive.
Yes.
And I can see the draw. I mean, people were really drawn in by that.
Just like I thought, like me with Melania's speech last night, until we found out that it was. You want to write down that?
I can see it. I know how it's spelled, and I just can't say it. I don't know why.
Yeah, I've screwed it up any number of times myself.
All right. It's Melania. Thank you.
Trump.
Well, people have been saying there's nothing else she's done. I haven't really paid much attention to her.
No, she hasn't been really out on the campaign trail very much.
I also can't say the president's daughter's names either, by the way.
Sasha and Malia?
Sasha and Malia?
I think so. I'm going to go with Malia.
So I just want you to know. Also can't say that. Every time I see it, I question the way it's pronounced. Sasha, yes.
Similar names. Yeah. Malia and Melania.
Melania. Just want to put that out there.
We got them now.
Okay. Then. Yeah. I think, no, I don't have either one of those, but let's pretend like I do.
Did you watch any of the convention tonight? Or
I
just
watched
last
just
night?
Last night. I watched Scott Baio explain how he was asked to also present and give a speech. And he said,
I didn't get, he gave his speech yesterday?
Yes,
I
he did.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see Chachi?
I didn't see Chachi. Poor Charles in charge.
No, Charles was completely in charge. I mean, completely, you know, charming guy. And he was explaining to an interviewer that he had run into Trump at Trump Tower and went to Trump Bar to have a Trump cocktail, and then was invited to a Trump event, and then was invited to give a Trump speech at the Trump convention. About 25 seconds, he had to have said Trump like 36 times. And that's when I started writing words like Trump-tastic and Trump-licious. And Trump doozled.
Hey, speaking of Trump,
mm-hmm.
How about that moment when Trump was in, got the mist around him
Ooh.
Last night, the silhouette?
And some little AC, was it AC/DC? Queen, he played Queen.
Queen.
Yes,
yeah,
without
we
their
are
permission.
The champions.
Do they have to have permission at
no.
convention? No.
They just have to pay the money to, no.
Do they pay the money? Because it
well,
Queen
I think
seemed
they
a little
do.
Mad.
I think they do.
Okay. All right, so the plagiarism story has really took hold today,
yeah.
Including references to, was it My Little Pony or something? Like there was a song from a children's show that also, you know, talks about dreams. There was one of the guys from the campaign was like, well, these are very common words. Yes, but when you string them together in the exact same way,
right.
Then it becomes questionable.
Hey, we're all using the same 26 letters, but yeah, the order of them matters.
There is a story today about Queen being frustrated that Donald Trump continues to use their song We Are the Champions, so much so they call it unauthorized use of their song, so they might take legal action. So I guess you do have to have legal or some sort of approval.
This happens all the time, though. No, you don't. But every time some Republican uses a song that singers don't like, they make a stink about it and say they're going to take action. But there's nothing they can do. The convention organizers will have an agreement with ASCAP or whatever mm-hmm. Clearinghouse for these musical rights. And that's that.
Actually, funny you should say ASCAP. Did you see that, not the organization, but just the
just
sound
the
of it
funny
to my
sound,
head.
Yeah.
Did you see that the norovirus has actually taken hold in a certain part of the population at the RNC? So the delegates from California that came in later in the week last week have been holed up in another hotel because
really?
They've been violently ill. Yeah.
Oh, norovirus is terrible.
Oh, it's the worst. I've had it. I don't wish this on anyone.
Yep.
So they're you know, begging people to please wash your. I mean, you're obviously shaking hands. You're in a contained
sure.
space.
Hobnobbing.
Oh, I hope that everyone's taking care of. Drink all your fluids. You know, make sure you take your vitamins.
I don't wish norovirus on anyone.
I had it once. It was brutal.
Yeah,
and it comes and goes very quickly as long as you know your immune system is strong enough to withstand.
Yeah, but what a
oh,
I had it 1 year, and then you got to like bleach the whole bathroom,
the world,
every
you had to
surface.
Bleach your whole world.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Craig's like, what are we bleaching? It's the worst thing.
Because the usual stuff doesn't kill it, Craig. Uh-oh. Like you can't use Lysol or whatever; you have to nuke it.
It's a very strong virus that has to be attacked. Yep.
We have to take a break. That's
more after this.
Oh.
It's his fault. He brought up ASCAP. We are hanging out with the editor-in-chief of the AV Club. That is John Tatey. Join the conversation anytime. Do you have a quiz this week, by the way? Because we have... Oh,
I'm sorry, Patty.
Oh,
I didn't make a quiz. I could make one during the news.
I don't want to make you rush. Hey, I ran here. I was barely on time. I'm not going to make you do extra work.
Okay.
We have to figure out a way to give away some tickets to my son, the waiter. We have tickets for that, so we'll figure out. We have a pair of those for this week, and I'll figure out some opportune time to disperse those.
Okay.
All right, then. 312-981-7200 coming up after the news. I want to talk a little bit about what they're up to at the AV Club. I also want to talk about how language matters, and we go back and forth on this. You know, we've talked a lot about how people admire Donald Trump for not being politically correct. We shouldn't worry. We should be able to say whatever we want. And then I've seen a lot of language about how unless you are saying Black Lives Matters, and then that somehow incites violence. So I'm kind of confused as to when rhetoric matters and doesn't matter, or when we shouldn't care what we say, but we should be careful we say that. And somehow I've got a post today that it's the president's fault that our police departments are under, our police officers are being attacked and murdered and slaughtered in the streets, and that's the president's fault. And the cops hate President Obama. Those are the things, you know, we bet on it. All the cops hate Obama. And so that's, in that sense, that's just sweeping rhetoric.
Yeah.
So I think there's been a lot of that. And I'm trying to figure out a way to temper my language as well, to figure out how I can have a
sure.
conversation with people without pushing them away. That's what I would like to do.
Good topic.
Yeah. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is the editor-in-chief of the AV Club, John Tatey. And I am trying to catch up with what happened at the Republican National Convention. I want to find out from our listeners, 312-981-7200, are you watching it or do you have methods by which you are catching up? I am actually right now scrolling through Bill Maher's feed to see what he had to say about it. I forgot about the avocado farmer. Apparently that was one of the speakers tonight closing
out. The soap opera star cum avocado farmer.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I would love to grow avocados.
Would you? It sounds like tedious work.
I would rather grow lemons because avocados are they can be very vulnerable. You know, yeah. You can get a bad avocado.
A lot of
avocado.
Watering too.
Yeah. I'll grow an avocado tree. We just trade.
Okay.
And we'll make guacamole.
I like that. I'll grow some onions even though too. Those are easy.
John, can you grow some tomatoes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect.
Sure. I've got tomatoes growing in my back patio.
Well,
right
there
now,
we go. All set. Done and done.
Nice.
Problem solved. I'm way
ahead. Craig, we're going to count on you for the cilantro. That's very, it's pretty hard.
I'm going to do nothing. I bet you'll do whatever else you need.
Okay. Well, they have that at you can grab some at the store.
Okay. Good. All right then. Wonderful.
Bill Maher coming out pretty strong on Twitter tonight. I don't know if you saw him talking about, Rob referred us to some of his remarks about Trump's sons and they, I can't read them on the radio, not even on this show.
Whenever someone tells you they want to cut the estate tax, this is Bill Maher, quoting Bill Maher, just reading his feed. Whenever someone tells you they want to cut the estate tax, picture that privileged little turd killing a leopard.
Yeah, in reference to Donald Trump Jr., who has gone on safari and killed exotic animals.
Yeah, exotic animals, including, I think, an elephant as well, hasn't he?
I don't know if he's killed an elephant.
Oh, no, that's the Republican Party. Trump's sons... I can't read that one.
Right, that's the one I was saying we can't read.
Oh, Thurston the blank bag and the third, that one? Or is there another one?
Blank bag, Von Blank, and Thurston Blank the third, blank, blank, blank.
Well, here, let me check, and to be balanced, fair and balanced, let me find out what Ann Coulter is tweeting as well. I mean, I just am curious. 312-981.
Are we going to be fair and balanced now?
Ann can be very toxic. She's a pit bull.
What's the big deal? Hillary obviously is lifting her speeches too from the Reverend Wright. This is 11 hours ago, so she's not live tweeting the convention.
Reverend Wright, really?
How about
Greatest Hits?
You know, I guess. How about Dennis Miller is a conservative? Yes, Dennis Miller.
He
should be live tweeting. What conservatives should I be following? I don't know who to follow on. I have a lot of people live tweeting. The RNC.
Who are the funny conservatives to follow on Twitter? Yeah.
Not Dennis Miller. His last one is from November 18th of 2015. Tonight's O'Reilly, Miller Time, President Obama, and the Paris attacks. That's his last tweet.
Come on, Dennis.
There's got to be... who are the conservative tweeters? O'Reilly, maybe? Does he?
I don't think so.
No? Okay. Craig, can you find out who the humorous...
I am trying to type into Google right now, humorous conservative tweeter.
Tweeters, yeah, there's got to be.
It's not working.
I mean, I'm guessing Kathleen Madigan has a lot to say, and Lewis Black probably does as well, right? They tend to do a lot of the political humor on Twitter, so I'm just trying to find. Here they go. Well, then the prize for originality goes to Tiffany. Trump Jr. also recycled part of his Republican convention speech, but apparently it's okay.
You can check Laura Ingraham as well.
Laura Ingraham? Okay, yeah. Let's go to Laura Ingraham. Let's see what she has.
Yeah, but Bill Maher was pretty...
I can't repeat what he was.
Yeah, he came out hot, didn't he, Rob?
He did, yeah.
Trump's sons, D-Bag Von F-Face,
and
Thurston S-Bag, the third, you'll recall, look like the date rapist in every after-school special ever.
Wow.
7,000 likes and 3,000 retweets.
Wow, that's quite a bit. So Laura Ingraham, 6 hours ago, how incredibly short-sighted and self-absorbed for John Kasich not to attend the RNC. What did he accomplish by skipping? Zippo. So there's that. Oh,
how do we talk to each other when, I mean, some of these are funny. I mean, you could call them toxic, but some of them are funny. But I really have been wondering, like, how do, as a nation of citizens, how do we talk to each other when it is so coarse, the invective is so coarse on both sides? Because during the primary season, I was kind of riled up and I was like, getting into the us versus them spirit, but I'm so exhausted of it right now. And I just want us all to be friends and to talk stuff out. Well, especially in the wake of the shootings.
Right.
I just feel like I want everybody in the nation to say, okay, let's settle down and have a real conversation here. But then I tune into the convention and, people are saying lock her up. They're chanting
guilty.
Lock her up.
Yep.
Guilty. I mean, this is not really how you have a sophisticated political conversation. And look, the I don't think the Democrats have been nearly as bad, but they, you know, I am eager for them to make the positive case for Hillary Clinton instead of continuing to slam Donald Trump, which do we really need that at this point?
Right.
Hasn't the negative case against Donald Trump been pretty well made? Well, I mean, not that it doesn't need to persist, but I feel like the Democrats now need to make a positive, hopeful case for Hillary Clinton. I personally think there's one to be made.
I don't know that there. And again, I'm right now going through tweets trying to catch up with the convention tonight. I do want to know what the positive case has been made. What positive case has been made for Donald Trump? I mean,
well, Politico did an analysis of Clinton versus Trump mentions at the RNC tonight, and Clinton was mentioned three times as much as Trump as their nominee.
Wow.
So they're not really making the case aside from his children.
Right.
They're not really making the case for Trump.
Okay, so I'm just curious as to what the platform. I know the platform was put forward last week. Pornography has been named a threat to public health.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was more about defunding Planned Parenthood. There
of
was
course,
reinforcing
yeah,
gun rights. And we probably should go through. We have a lot of friends that are at the RNC, but that's also part of what's been going on. They also were trying to – there were people protesting the vote, the roll call, and trying to get Ted Cruz votes counted as well.
Well, that didn't last yesterday.
No, it didn't.
And there was a bit of a snafu with Alaska today.
Oh, really?
Of all
the first one?
Is Alaska the first one?
Yeah,
I think that's right. Alaska, basically, they split their delegates. Trump had the most, but they split their delegates between Trump and Cruz, or maybe Cruz had the most. And the guy in charge of the convention was just like, okay, everybody for Trump. And all of the Alaska delegates went for Trump. So there was it didn't make any difference, but the Alaska people were upset.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
They want to hear the totals, right? Because, I mean, Illinois, we had our committee leader say that there were, I think, 6 for Kasich. There were 9 mm-hmm. for Cruz and 54 for the for Donald Trump. It was interesting. When they introduced him, he talked about being from the great state of Illinois with the greatest governor in Illinois. And as they've been reporting on the news, the greatest governor in the country did not go to the convention.
Right.
And then on national news, I heard someone say that Governor Rauner was not supporting Donald Trump, which is not accurate. From what I've heard in press conferences, he has said that he supports the Republican candidate, which if it's Donald Trump, he will support him. But I've never heard him say he doesn't support Donald Trump. So I thought that was interesting. I think they're taking his absence as a lack of support, perhaps. I see.
But there, if that's the case, then most Republicans don't support Trump. Because, I mean, none, aside from McConnell and Ryan, there's not a lot of GOP luminaries at the convention. It has this feel, it just is weird. And I said at the top of the hour that it's a bizarre convention. It just has this weird feel to it, it's like the Pro Bowl of conventions, you know, as opposed to the Super Bowl. It just kind of feels like an exhibition game because all the people, I don't recognize them, and it's kind of tawdry and clumsily produced, I feel, and I don't know. It just has a weird vibe to it.
I know. I'm trying to see, again, you can go to all these different news websites and try to catch up that way, but there is something about getting snippets of it from Twitter that can be kind of compelling and interesting, but I don't know how everybody else is. Anybody watching and perhaps we're missing something. What is it that you've been impressed by from the Republican National Convention?
Good question.
312-981-7200. Yes.
I was just going to say, you know, what's interesting tonight is, you know, Paul Ryan spoke tonight in Cleveland, and, you know, you go back a couple of months and he finally threw, I guess, lukewarm support behind Donald Trump is a good way to say it. But hindsight being what it is, I was thinking about this the other night. Where the Republicans have missed the boat, and Paul Ryan should have been out in front of this by saying, look, if Donald Trump becomes our nominee, which he did tonight, then it's incumbent upon Republicans and true conservatives to make him a better Republican,
right.
Meaning we're going to keep an eye on him. We're going to make sure that he adheres to our values. And in doing so, if he's elected president, then we're going to keep an eye on him, basically saying that. So take ownership of the fact that the guy's going to be your nominee. But also by saying, you know, look, we're watching you.
Right.
Well put. Yeah.
You know, I think he really missed an opportunity to get out in front of this thing.
Do you think that they were cowed not only by the candidate who seems impossible to control, Rob, but by they've been riding this tiger of populism for some time now, and now the tiger is eating them. Do you think there was some fear? fear of the swell of support behind Trump, too, and of alienating those voters.
Momentum accounts for a lot in politics, as we know. So there could be that effect. But again, if you're in this game at this high of level, you shouldn't be backing down from anybody. You know, and you need to step up and you need to, again, whether people agree with you or not, take ownership of what's there in front of you.
That's true.
And make it better.
Right. And again, put forward what the Republican platform is. Make that the core instead of how much you hate the other candidate.
Yeah. And I would say the same thing for Hillary Clinton. She's going to be the nominee. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people out there that love her. And there are just as many out there that don't like her. Mm-hmm. But again, she's your nominee. Own it. Try to highlight the strong points and move forward.
That's what I was. I don't know if you were around, Rob, but I was saying earlier that I'm waiting for the Democrats to make the positive case for Hillary Clinton, because I personally do believe there's one to be made. But just this attack, constant attacks against Trump, which at this point kind of feels like shooting fish in a barrel. Like, OK, tell us why we should be hopeful about you, because I'm desperate for some uplift in this campaign.
Well, totally agree.
And that was what I think when Obama was running, that was what was compelling about him, was he told us what he planned, what he envisioned in America, whether or not people agreed with it. I think that for the Democrats, that was something, people can mock hope and change, but that was something that compelled people. Mm-hmm. Yes, they could circle around that. I also had a question about that, too, is we do pick and choose what elements, and I was talking about this with rhetoric, when it comes to being PC and saying, we should be able to say whatever we want. People are getting their feelings hurt. Whoa, now you're talking about Black Lives Matter and you're putting people in danger. Well, so does the other kind of rhetoric when you're marginalizing people and blaming them for taking things. And how is that any different? I don't know what the president has said that people believe is also encouraging violence against police officers. I don't hear that. Is it a whistle I'm not hearing?
I think the president finally struck a balanced tone. And look, I'm not the biggest Obama supporter, but he had his town hall the other night on ABC. It was last week. And I thought he did a very good job at striking a balance between those who feel as though they've been marginalized by law enforcement and been targeted by law enforcement. But I also thought, I got to give him credit, I also thought he did a good job in trying to back up law enforcement. He really did. I listened to almost the entire hour, except, when I was doing my updates, and I thought he did well.
How can we get everybody else to give each other credit? That's a thing. Can we give each other a little bit of space that what we're saying doesn't violate you somehow or offend you? Because Rob, when you said that, I was checking out our page. You guys had aired it at the town hall meeting during Justin's show, and somebody wrote, "I'm not going to listen to that race baiter," right? But then you're not even open to the possibility, as Rob Martyr is, or that I am when I hear someone speak, that this might be something, okay, I'm trying to get to see your point of view. I'm trying to see what you have to say or listen to.
I've started thinking, it's easy for me as a white guy to accuse a black guy as being a race baiter, but I'm not black. I've not walked in their shoes.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it's like to be pulled over or, because of the color of my skin. So it's an easy out for me to say, typical. But I don't know.
Well, and that's a conversation we've had here, too, about being a woman when we talk about being catcalled or harassed or, this is very interesting today with Fox News and that, what's his face?
Roger Ailes.
Yeah.
That was great. That was like stereo times two. Like, I heard that. You guys were right in sync.
Well, I've been following this one since it broke.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
this is a hot one. This is a pretty juicy story.
Let's talk about this when we come back. Okay. Five nine. What number am I about to give out? Giving the other, the old number, 591? don't stop. Can you erase that?
No one call that.
312-981-7200. Join our conversation at any time. You can tell me that I'm wrong or tell me why you see things differently. But we're going to talk about Roger Ailes when we come back and the story that broke today about Fox News. More after this, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And we wanted to talk a little bit about this story that broke today, that Roger Ailes has stepped down as he basically created the Fox Network, didn't he? Fox News Network.
The latest reports are that he's negotiating his exit.
Negotiating his exit.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it says in the New York Times, which has the biggest scoops tonight. They seem to have the most information as to what's going on. Drudge has sort of been fanning the flames of this all day, and at one point he did say that Ailes is out, but it seems right now he's on his way out.
It's going to be quite the lucrative exit, too.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, right, the $40 million golden mm-hmm, parachute. Mm-hmm. Rob, what about this detail that three of the top stars have stipulations in their contract that they can depart if Ailes is out?
I'm sorry.
Gretchen Carlson out. She was let go because of what they say was poor ratings. She's now in litigation against Ailes. Megyn Kelly, without a doubt, now I think the face of the network.
Yeah.
She's accused him of sexual harassment as well, so... we'll see. It'll be interesting how this plays out.
There was a string of clips that was played on another show. I don't know if it was Bill Left's show last week about, you know, all the different times when they would comment on the women who host on.
There was that YouTube clip.
Holy cats.
It was quite a run.
Oh, it was kind of sad. But I also, you know, the women were playing along with it. So I'm guessing there's this idea from the audience. Well, she liked it or she was going along with it. You also start to worry about your livelihood. You also kind of go along to get along. You don't rock the boat. You have the job. This is kind of, and it's also, I think there's also the idea, well, it's entertainment, but it's just icky to listen to that, to a lot of those things.
I'm struck by, in the case of Gretchen Carlson, I'm struck by the fact that, you know, we're talking about rhetoric and vilifying your opponent and not, you know, engaging in a serious way. And I have to say that this whole affair has also made me consider the way I react to people on TV, because I think Gretchen Carlson was mocked for years as sort of an airhead bimbo type by liberal comedians who maybe wouldn't use that type of language, but the framework was there. I mean, I saw
they felt they had permission because she worked for Fox.
Because she worked for Fox, right? And now I'm seeing her do interviews in this and getting deeper insight into some of the struggles she had while she was there and the environment she had to deal with. And I have a newfound respect for her, and it made me think, I wish I hadn't been so quick to just judge her as a, you know, sort of airhead tool of the right-wing media. Right. It's helpful. I think if anything has come out of this for me, it's helpful to remember that these are all human beings. Even television stars are human beings, and they can be complex human beings is what I'm getting at.
Yes, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, here's a great way to put it. Fox put Gretchen Carlson in roles where they thought Fox would succeed, not where they thought Gretchen Carlson would succeed.
Interesting.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well put.
Yeah. I'm. It'll be interesting to see how this the fallout is. Because we are in that. We seem to be in a swing of, hey, let's pay attention to the way we talk to each other, like you said.
Yeah.
And you know, sort of take a step back and go, how does this appear, not just as with our coworkers, but what are we putting out there as a product? What are we encouraging other people? What are we giving permission to? Is it talk to women this way or to talk to someone who, by the way, who was D.L. Hewley talking to when we were talking about the about
Megyn
violence?
Kelly.
That was rough, because I saw him really trying to dig in and trying to have a conversation, and I saw him get really emotional. And if, depending on what you agree with, I mean, you could take away from that he sounded kind of ridiculous or didn't really make a point.
I thought the whole segment was kind of a mess.
So uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It was, and I've had those moments.
I'm surprised that clip was making the rounds, because I just thought it was a hot mess.
People took what they wanted from it.
Yeah.
Look, I've had my moments where I feel incredibly clumsy verbally on this show, and I do my best. We're all making it up as we go.
Yeah.
But that was just a mess. It was, and I didn't know why it was making the rounds either. But
I saw it with a headline. You know, you saw it with either the headline Megyn Kelly destroys D.L. Hewley, or the other way around.
Yes.
Didn't think anybody destroyed anybody there.
There's another interesting one as well in the same vein. The Milwaukee County Sheriff, the African-American sheriff
with
of
Don
Milwaukee
Lemon.
County.
Yeah. You,
exactly, with Don Lemon. And that one was about as uncomfortable as the Megyn Kelly deal scenario.
I'm going to watch that one during the news, because I remember I've seen that clip, but I haven't watched it.
Oh, thanks. You're not going to listen?
Yeah, I was just kidding.
Oh, wait a minute. could you tell me right now what the news
is? I'm kidding. You know what my lead is. Come on.
During the traffic then, because I'm not driving right now. Is that right, Esmeralda?
Fine.
That's fine. That's
blah,
fine.
Blah, 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 I believe blah, is how you blah, characterize
blah,
it.
Blah, like, I'm wah, reading wah, it, and that's all I hear is blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah. No, I'm teasing Esmeralda. I did not hear blah, blah, blah. I hear blah, blah, blah because I start stressing out about how long it's going to take me to get there. We've been talking to John Tatey, who is the editor-in-chief of the AV Club. Tell us where we can find all your fantastic writing.
Oh, please visit us at avclub.com. I think you'll enjoy what you find there. And you can follow me personally on Twitter at John Tatey, J-O-H-N-T-E-T-I. It is not spelled the way it sounds, and I apologize for that.
the origins.
I realize it's an inconvenience to people to remember that it's a different vowel than they expect.
It sounds like Matey.
Hopefully they can deal with
but
it.
But it's spelled like Tatey.
Yeah, sounds like Warren Beatty.
But it's T-E-T-I.
T-E-T-I.
Which is just fun to say. We will see you next week, and we'll talk about, if
okay,
you don't
great.
Mind, the Democratic National Convention next week.
Oh, I think, if you yeah. twist my arm,
all
I
right.
guess.
Unless you want to stay and talk Ghostbusters, but I think we're talking about the RNC after this. All right,
oh, good. I'll be listening on the radio.
Fantastic. This is Chicago's
How
very
own.
I don't know, on your phone.
Yeah, you
your
can
radio
use the
app.
You can use our app.
Use our WGN radio app. That's fine. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I am live in the Allstate Showcase studio, but joining us live from Cleveland, from the National Convention for the Republicans. I've decided to go a different way. Do you like how I reorganized the letters? The National Convention for the Republicans? Maybe that would help them. What do you think, Brandon Weatherby?
That would not help them.
No? A lot's happened since we last spoke. We were kind of talking about how you settled in. You're staying at an Airbnb in the suburbs. There was some chill protesting. Some people got in. Some of the pink code folks got in with dropped, media passes or delegate pass, whatever way they got access. It seemed very laid back yesterday. Have things changed a little bit since yesterday?
It feels like something might happen, but it doesn't. I don't think it's going to, because yes, there are definitely more cops. There are definitely more protesters, but they're not violent and they're not showing any sort of force. And there are more pro-God people there Ooh. Than any Black Lives Matter group. And
okay.
if you think of the Westboro Baptist Church, you don't really think of them as anarchists. You know, they're just people that want you to believe their beliefs. That's
right.
it. And
they show up, hold signs and flags and things like that.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. at the public square today, which is about three blocks away from the convention center, that's it. The religious people outnumber the social justice warriors. So it's all a wash. It doesn't really change anything. There are definitely more cops there than anyone else. And then number two would probably be the media. And then the rest are like the handful of protesters. Like It's a shell game. There's nothing here.
Did you happen to see the 100 naked women that were protesting? 100 nude women welcomed Donald Trump to Cleveland?
Yes, that was on Sunday. That was an art project, and that existed before the convention because they knew they could actually get it done. And they got it done, and good on them. Why not?
good on you for being naked.
What's wrong with that? I have no body shame. I don't care what your party platform is. You should not have body shame.
There you go. So that was a peaceful protest. You're saying the protesters have been peaceful. What has the tone been like since Melania finished her speech last night? Because you and I spoke after she addressed the convention, but things seem to have erupted after that, especially in social media. Have you talked to anybody about the fact that her speech seemed very similar to Michelle Obama's from 2008?
According to social media, she is the Stephen Glass of this election. She is no different than in trying to take down the New York Times and stealing other people's words. But in reality, no one cares. The Trump people, like always, doubled down on it and today refused to apologize for something that was clearly lifted from somebody else. And then today, Donald Trump Jr.'s speech was also most likely lifted from other speeches in the past. So it doesn't matter. You're just doubling down on a character with, and if you support Trump, good for you. You're not going to care about this stuff.
That's true.
At all.
And it just makes it makes them more angry at people who don't support Trump when we post things, you know, when we post quotes like I want to start by thanking my husband Barack Obama and things like that. They just
exactly.
Yeah, they just see it as all nonsense. They see it as a diversion. Do you think it has been a diversion? Because that took up an entire news cycle. All day long, the interviews on national news have shown the video and syncing up their speeches. That really seems to have consumed a lot of the time on television.
And it's warranted for sure, But there are a lot of other things that are definitely warranted, and it goes across party lines. It's not like the Republicans are all bad and the Democrats are all good. It's just this is the thing that happened most recently. Also, this is a model, and by saying a model, I mean a fashion model, speaking at the RNC. That alone is already something. And I could also be referring to Anthony Sabato Jr., who also spoke on Monday night. So it's not like
right.
This is not a gender issue. There are two models, and they both happen to be men and women. So
right. Well,
this whole thing is a joke.
Well, when you say that, as far as apologies go, the campaign's not going to apologize. If anything, I would see that the first apology goes to Melania Trump for not having her back, for putting her out on a stage and not fortifying her with a speech that was authentic to her. Because
it's really not hard to change adjectives, and you're 100% right. Most rational humans think that she kind of got a raw deal here.
Yes,
you know,
she definitely did. Unfortunately,
but at the same time, chose your party. You chose your teammate. No one forced you. Well, actually, I don't know, but no one in theory forced you to marry a certain individual.
Right. Right, and presumably you are in a partnership with your spouse. You have agreed that this is what we're going to do. We're going to go out on the national stage, and we're going to do this campaign, and now I'm going to go out on stage. And, that really is the spouse comes out and says, here's what we need to know, I think, as far as, when it comes to the first person, whether it's the first lady or if it's next week the first gentleman, what drew you to this person? Why should we be drawn to this person? What is it about their integrity, about their personality that you believe lends itself to being the leader of the most powerful country in the world?
I think Bill Clinton is the second greatest living American politician especially when it comes to speeches. And it's going to be really hard for him to say anything that isn't great. That being said, the talking points on the other side are going to be the same talking points they've had for the last 18 years since one specific scandal erupted. And if you just look at the bootleg merch at the RNC, there's just as many Monica Lewinsky jokes as there are any Benghazi jokes. I can't think of one Benghazi t-shirt I've seen, but I can think of multiple Hillary Clinton, Monica Lewinsky t-shirts I've seen. So if you can bring out the same stuff that happened almost two decades ago, it doesn't matter what Bill Clinton says. It doesn't matter what Melania says.
Right. Right. It should. And I don't know that the base, worries about what she's going to say or how she says it. I do want to know what the tone is when a lot of family members come out and are talking about losing a loved one, whether it was in Benghazi or police officers, because it does seem that the tone is and not actually the tone. The actual words used is that the mother of the young man who was killed in Benghazi, she directly blames Hillary Clinton. And I believe that some of the other rhetoric is that the shooting of police officers, slaying them in the street, is the fault of the president and his administration. What is the tone when those folks who have very passionate and important stories to tell, but when it's about blaming and sort of being manipulated and used for these conventions, I don't quite get it. What is your take?
The tone on the floor itself is definitely more receptive to the Blue Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
And Benghazi, it doesn't necessarily hurt, and no one is saying get this woman off the stage, but it's not nearly connecting as much as the pro-cop speeches.
Right, right. And do you get why they're saying that that's somehow the president's fault? What kind of language are they using to point the finger directly at the president?
The president or the potential president, Hillary Clinton?
No, because it seems like are they also blaming Hillary?
Oh, they're blatantly blaming Hillary. Barack's approval rating is too high, and if you already hate Barack, you're already not going to vote for Hillary, so it's kind of pointless. At this point, you're just slandering Hillary. It doesn't really matter, honestly. What they're saying is not connecting on the floor. Once again, these are delegates. These are people that already support Trump. They don't really care about Benghazi at this point. They already agree with it. They've heard it ad nauseum.
Right. Right. So why aren't they going with something else about what they're going to do, what their plan is? Wouldn't that be a way to sort of fire up the base?
Why? What's the proof of the plan? What's your track record?
You mean talking about like your positions on things and what you're going to do?
Why would you do that? That's not what this is about. This is theater. Why would you talk about how the man got to the stage and said this line? No, you're supposed to just say the lines. It doesn't make sense.
Okay. And it doesn't matter whose
line it is. A convention is not politics. I want to make that very clear. Regardless of the side you're on, conventions are not about policy. Policy is incredibly boring and actually impacts us. This is theater.
Okay. And how, and so theatrically as a reviewer, what are your, what's your review of this production?
Yeah, how's
of
the
this
lighting
production?
Been? Has yes. the lighting been very nice?
So good. So good.
Ooh,
but... I know that Colbert owns the Hunger Games at this point. Oh, it really does look like when the Hunger Games do the interviews before they actually become tribute, or after they become tributes before they actually go fight the games, mm-hmm. the stage is so perfect. The lighting design...
Yes.
This should win an award. If this is not nominated at next year's Emmy, someone's an idiot, because what they've done with this lighting design is fantastic. The sound, on the other hand, not so good.
Oh.
The sound in the arena is a little weird, because if you notice it, it's not very full. I can't tell if you could tell on television, but in the room itself, the stage is on the floor where the Cavs would play, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it also blocks off about a third of the arena. So you're pointing all these speakers not in all directions, but in one direction, and it, and no pun intended for the band. And it's now this weird, you can't hear everything incredibly clear. And maybe that's another reason why Benghazi's not connecting on the floor. And I'm not joking. I mean, it's difficult to tell. And on TV, you can't really understand that almost everyone on the floor is in their own little private conversation.
Wow.
And there are reporters everywhere doing their job as well.
Well, and then, so does it mean that, that speakers like Rudy Giuliani, who pretty much was screaming and foaming at the mouth, does that connect better because he's yelling, or Chris Christie, who, you know, decides that he's going to be the prosecutor and the all the delegates are now the jury and yells, you know, is she, you know, what's your verdict? And they yell guilty. Does that work better with that audience?
Chris Christie's bit worked better because it was call and response, but he did it too much. He should have stuck to the rules of three. You're a comic. You understand it. He did it too many times. He went to the well too often. Giuliani, on the other hand, his biggest pop of the night came when he rebutted the Code Pink protester. So that's not really the sign of a good speech. His second biggest pop of the night came when he co-opted Obama's 2004 DNC speech, and he said what happened. So he didn't do poorly, for sure. Giuliani would have been the star of the night, but Melania's lack of her own words really ruined it for him.
Wow. Well, that overshadows in the sense that that became the news. That became the news of the day. And I wonder how much Trump's son's speech will become the news of the day. Craig, what were you going to say?
I was curious, Brandon, do you have any word from Stacey Dash on where she is?
Yeah, what happened there?
Where is she?
Stacey Dash is still stuck in Kanye West's 2004 video for All Falls Down. Kanye West should be our president, and I say that completely sincerity as a bipartisan person. I just want to point out one thing before we go away from Stacey Dash and the RNC. I went to a panel, the complete off-the-record panel, but the pollster from Harvard spoke, and to me, that was the most enlightening piece of the entire day. And no one's going to mention this on the floor. No one's going to mention this on any of the cable networks. But if you look at just the math and the people that are college-educated white people that like Hillary, she's going to win that vote. That vote hasn't been won by the Democrats in decades. That alone will win her the election. This is, unless Trump could do something drastic, or unless Hillary does something drastically bad, the election's essentially over.
Wow. Interesting.
If you just look at the math, that's all that matters.
Okay.
Yeah, so what John Delavope said today to me and to this entire room of journalists, like, oh yeah, he's just a Harvard pollster. He has no horse in this race. He doesn't care. It's not his job to care.
Now I get why you
report numbers.
Now I get why you saw this as theater today, because it's all over and Hillary's the president. This all makes sense now that it was theater
that
and it
means,
was a real.
No. I said there's a caveat there. If something drastic happens, for example,
mm-hmm.
if Hillary did have to go in front of a jury, that would have been drastic and that would have changed the playing field. But if the playing field maintains as it is, if you were a Democrat, there is no reason to worry. And if you're a Republican that supports Trump, you really need to figure out what can this party do to appeal to white college-educated people. Because if you don't appeal to them, you don't win this election. It's no longer just, I need to win Ohio.
Huh. How are the libertarians doing? Do you happen to know?
No offense to libertarians. It doesn't matter.
Oh.
there's no one talking about them here. And there's no one talking about libertarians at the RNC in 2016... When a WWE Hall of Famer is your presidential nominee, you're never going to have a chance in the next decade. So, no, there's no rumblings of that at all.
I love Brandon's analysis of all this? Because he pulls no punches. Yeah.
He's done.
They're out. He's
nope.
out.
Nope. Don't worry about it.
It's all over.
This is it.
Could I put on one other thing that is sort of related to politics? So I went to a Breitbart party right before I called in here. I just got back. And there's a really, I guess, famous on the internet gay conservative named Milo Yiannopoulos. And he just got banned by Twitter because he's a troll. And he was one of the people behind the whole Leslie Jones and Leslie Jones Ghostbuster stuff on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah, so this is definitely a big deal right now on Twitter, but in the real world, it doesn't matter whatsoever, because I was at this party, and it was quote-unquote sold out, and it was, once again, Breitbart-sponsored RNC official party, gays throw the best parties, that was their tagline.
Okay.
This is their language.
Okay.
And
could be worse.
There were 200 people there, 100 of which were absolute supporters, a lot of white guys and a lot of Trump hats, and then 100 people or media people going, what's going on? That's it. It's really 100 people retweeting and finding other people in places on the internet. That's all this is. It's all BS. 100% of the games that the Chicago White Sox play at U.S. Cellular Field have more people that actually care about baseball than all of this guy's followers on Twitter. So just because you see some guy has 500,000 followers, that doesn't mean he actually is anything. Does that
right.
make sense?
Well, believe me, don't even get me started on this, because I'm sure as an entertainer, you know, there are different aspects of our job where people value how many followers you have as a basis to hire you or to promote you or to, you know, have a deal with you. You know, they'll ask you in meetings in LA how many followers you have, and I'm like, well, if you add them all up, if you take my Instagram account, my Twitter, but it's not something that I develop. I mean, that's an occupation in and of itself. There are people who are savvy at it, and you know, or there are people who use it for evil with this campaign against Leslie Jones. I don't even understand what the goal was. Was it just to be a D-bag?
Yes, that is 100% the goal.
Okay.
Because there's a weird feeling you get when you see a heart on an Instagram post, and a weird feeling you get when you see that you got retweeted or liked. That's it. It's just spreading vitriol. And if you look at the actual arena at the RNC, it's not full. It hasn't been full. I mean, we're only 2 days in. I get it. But in theory, if you're covering this thing, you're already in Cleveland and you already have your credentials. Why aren't you in the arena?
Right.
This is not a big deal. The 2008 campaign for Barack Obama, they had to move it to a football stadium. Keep that in mind. They can't sell out a 15,000. They can't fill a 15,000 seat basketball arena.
Wow. Yikes.
It's not as big as it sounds.
Yeah, no, I mean, they do make it out to seem, maybe that's why they use that fog machine when he came out with the Queen, because if you fill a room with fog, it's hard to see how light the room is. That makes it seem much more dramatic, and that goes back to your production values that you were talking about.
Oh, it's so great. It's such high production value.
With the fog machine. I can get one on Amazon for like $30. Okay, one more question before we go. Are you aware that there is an outbreak of the norovirus at the convention?
Oh, I'm good. I wear suits. It's fine.
And wear suits? Wait, what does that have to do with catching the norovirus?
No, he's fine. He's fine. He wears suits.
All right.
I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm a straight white man in America. Nothing could hurt me. Don't worry. Especially at the RNC. Come on.
Excellent. I'm hoping that the people who came down with the virus, they move them to a different hotel, and they've separated them from everybody else, which I'm sure is a great feeling, but you got to do what you got to do to keep everybody safe. Hopefully people don't come down with this. It's really nasty. All right. What else? We'll catch up with you. Can we talk to you again tomorrow? Let's talk to you every day. Why not? You're there.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
We'll have get some rest. Have one on me, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
I do. I mean, send him some money so he can have a drink if he wants one. All right. Thanks, Brendan Weatherby. Check out his podcast. You bet a, what's it? You bets Mia?
You be ets Mia.
You bets Mia?
You be ets Mia.
But it spells out you bets Mia.
Esmeralda?
Esmeralda?
We're throwing a lot of hard hitting words at you today.
You be ets Mia.
Yeah.
It's actually a quote.
You bets Okay. Melania. More after this on 720 WGN.
As the boldest experiment in advertising history, you give us our money back.
I beg your pardon?
Give us our money back. Think of the publicity. The Hilton Hotels has these billboards all over Los Angeles where the winners of these slot machine jackpots, their faces are all over LA. And I know that works. I've seen people at corners look up and say, maybe I'll go to the Hilton. Well, you give us our money back. I don't even know now, because I'm just coming off the top of my head, but a visual where if we had a billboard and the Desert Inn handed us our nest egg back, This gives the Desert Inn, really, Vegas is not associated with feeling.
Well, first of all, those people on those signs, they won. You lost.
But that's it. That's the campaign.
What's the campaign?
You gave my wife and I our money back because you reviewed our situation and you realized that we dropped out of society and we weren't just gamblers and we made a mistake and you gave our money back. Do you know you couldn't get a room in this place for 10 years?
Then everybody will want their money back. All the gamblers will say, hey, go to the Desert Inn, get our money back.
Not gamblers. No, you keep all the money. It's just that my wife and I aren't gamblers. That's what I'm saying. That's the distinction. My wife and I represent the few people, and I'll tell you something, there's probably nobody else that's ever going to come and have this happen. So really, probably we're the only two. We represent the people who have taken the chance, and we made a mistake, and then the Desert Inn corrects it and gives it back. There is a warm feeling here.
But you don't think everybody then will want their money back?
No. In the campaign, you make a clear distinction between the bold, who would be my wife and I, and then all the other schmucks who come here to see Wayne Newton.
I like Wayne Newton.
I said Wayne Newton.
What were you talking about? I heard you say schmuck see Wayne Newton. I like him. That makes me a schmuck.
Oh, no. I'm stupid to use an entertainer as a dividing point. I just meant all the people that come here carefree on their way to see a show, and my wife and I, who, if you knew us, believe me, you would believe me.
You're bold.
Yes. So what do you think?
I don't think the sign's going to work and giving by...
The sign is wrong. A jingle, a television campaign. The Desert Inn has heart. The Desert Inn has heart. The Desert Inn has heart.
It's enough. The casino is our main means of income. Not the coffee shop, not the show. The casino, that's what pays all our bills. So if we give everybody their money back, we can't pay our bills. I'm sorry, we can't change our policy.
Okay, play a fun word game with me. This will do it. What do you think of when you think of a hunting lodge?
Hunt.
Yes. What do you think of when you think of a rest home?
Your rest.
So, you see, we're going to associate the Desert Inn with something beautiful. You don't think of anything here now, do you?
Gambling. That's why people come here.
That's
right. They gamble.
Right.
They want to go to hunting lodges. They go to Wisconsin. They want to rest. They go to New Orleans. They want to gamble. They come to Vegas. That's what it's called, gambling, Las Vegas gambling. You see signs around this town with guys with guns shooting ducks. It's a gambling place. They don't shoot ducks, raccoons, beavers. They come to gamble. That's what we do here. Now, you're a nice guy. You make me laugh and everything. But our policy is we can't give your money back. I'm real sorry. Say goodbye to your wife. I gotta go home.
What about Miracle on 34th Street?
It's a Christmas movie.
Yes, it was. Now, there was Gimbels, who was afraid that if they gave something up, that they would lose. And they wound up benefiting. He was afraid that if he gave to Macy's, he would lose his business, and he didn't. It's the same situation. This costs you nothing. To give us our money back is nothing. You would be the one who would benefit.
Wrong. In that movie, Santa Claus took care of everything. It was Macy's, Gimbels, but Santa Claus came, and he fixed the whole thing. We don't have Santa Claus.
Then we get him.
Who?
Santa Claus. We get him. That's the ad campaign. There it goes. I have the chills. We get Santa Claus. He's the one on the billboard. He hands us our nest egg. We associate for the first time ever Christmas and Las Vegas. Las Vegas, a Christmas place to be.
We're finished.
It's Gary Marshall in the movie Lost in America, which is an Albert Brooks movie, but it's one of my favorite. Growing up, my mother took me to see a lot of Albert Brooks movies, and Gary Marshall, when I saw him in that, I didn't even really get who he was at the time, but if you go through and think of the impact that he has had on our television, on our humor, movies, you know, he created Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy, which are shows from my childhood. He wrote and directed so many of the movies that we've all come to know as classics in comedy. And by the way, I was talking to somebody one day about the movie Beaches. It's not a great movie, but it's somehow like this big cultural reference. And I didn't even realize that he had directed that. He could bring out the best in his actors. You could tell that people just had fun performing for him and with him. He talks about how he was the greatest nepotist in Hollywood because he loved showing up to work with people he was related to. So I'm really sad to hear that Gary Marshall died.
Yeah, and a hell of an actor too. Oh, he's all over the place. He was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think last year.
So
he's
funny.
Everything.
I missed the opportunity to meet him. I used to work at a restaurant called the Roxy Cafe in Evanston. I believe he's a graduate of Northwestern University, and he had come into town, and they closed off part of the restaurant so he could enjoy some privacy. He did not ask the restaurant. They did it for him. I think that he was the kind of guy that brought that sort of that reaction. You wanted to do whatever you could for this guy who had brought so much humor into our lives. He was a writer for The Odd Couple on television. He became a director. He created the series Angie, which I kind of remember in the background. But then it was a series like Mork and Mindy and Laverne and Shirley and Joni Loves Chachi, which, you know, we just talked about Scott Baio, obviously made that guy, a star. Oh, the movie The Flamingo Kid. Oh, that's a great Matt Dillon movie.
He also wrote for The Lucy Show and Dick Van Dyke Show. Yep. I mean, it's amazing.
He was so prolific. He talked a lot about how being a writer was his favorite thing, that was his favorite thing in the world because it was everything to him. So I'm very sad to hear that Gary Marshall has passed away. He really he didn't make Julia Roberts a star, but what he got from the movie Pretty Woman, what he was able to create, I mean, the story of a hooker who, you know, finds true love. What did we always call it? The hooker with a heart of gold?
I think that's it, yeah.
The thing is because we couldn't call it the unwilling hooker who finds true love. She seemed like an unwilling hooker.
I also really like The Runaway Bride, I got to say.
I enjoyed that movie.
I really like that movie.
I like that too, where she doesn't know what kind of eggs she likes. Great thing. I mean, that's not something, it's hard to explain why that is important to me. Because you do go through life sometimes just kind of going along with, well, that sounds good. I guess I'll get that. And she doesn't know what kind of eggs she likes. I love that about the movie.
Amen. Really great. Great job.
So many great movies. I'm going through this. I mean, like, it would be impossible for us to go through all of them. And I wanted to play that clip because as a kid, I just remember going, Santa Claus? You want me to be Santa Claus? I think of hunting. Very funny, and of course, the impact he has had on. I think there's a buoyancy in the humor that he always brought to whether it was a movie he directed or something that he wrote or a scene like that, right? I mean, he's got to give this guy bad news, but you kind of like, yeah, he's right. He's got a point. He's not being a jerk. Albert Brooks, his wife. Have you seen that movie?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Esmeralda, have you seen Lost in America?
I have not.
It's such an annoying movie that it's funny. I don't usually like to be annoyed by my comedies, hence my distaste for Seinfeld, right? I mean, Albert Brooks kind of falls in that same line of he's a little bit narcissistic in a lot of his movies. He's very self-involved. He does things that have a negative impact on others in his life. And that's in Lost in America, he decides he's taking all their money, Esmeralda, and they're going to travel the country in an RV. And I would not be able to stay with somebody who did that. That's not what I signed up for. I mean, it's a little rough. Anyway, that's what that movie. Anyway, I believe that Gary Marshall, for me, that's the most memorable scene of that movie. I always, whenever someone says Lost in America, I think of that scene.
Well, and it's funny because what you describe is actually the thing I like about a lot of the characters he plays. He's sort of like laughing and smiling along with the audience as someone else is sort of stealing a scene, but he takes it kind of right back by you know, responding the way that he does and being so relatable.
He is incredibly relatable, so charming,
yeah,
so talented. And I, by the way, the Princess Diaries, if you know, and it sounds like a chick flick or a kids movie or a teenage girls movie, so much heart in that. Happy Days, one of the greatest television series of all time. I mean, to make Henry Winkler the font, to make him a sex symbol. Have you seen Henry Winkler? I mean, he's kind of he's a little Jewish guy from, I think he's from New Jersey or something, Craig, isn't he, originally? What he brought to the set, what he created, what he was able to get from the actors and from his own work is unbelievable and will
he was
be a
born
legacy.
He was born in Manhattan. He probably was raised in Jersey, though.
Henry Winkler?
He went to Yale. Did you know that?
Henry Winkler did?
Yeah.
I did not. I did not.
He graduated from the Yale School of Drama.
To sidetrack a little bit, I have requested Henry Winkler for the Comic-Con. We have a huge list coming
up. Oh, that sounds great.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Let's get the funds.
Yeah, that would be very cool. I do adore all the work that that Gary Marshall did. And you go through and you're like, okay, well, that's a little bit of a no. I'm gonna say that there was. I've not seen Mother's Day, which I know did not get great reviews. But so much of this work, he was 81, and that seems like a, you know, okay, well, he put in his time. No, it's too soon. 312-981-7200. Let us know some of your favorite memories of Gary Marshall. If you, you know, maybe you just want to hear us talk about it, but I'd love to hear what you think of the movies. If you go to, and if you're not familiar with the work that he's done, you can go to Gary Marshall on IMDb, and I think you'll be blown away by how much work he did, how much he wrote, all the movies that he directed. Here, I can go through this. Let me see if I get Nothing in Common, which is a great Jackie Gleason and Tom Hanks movie. Beaches, Overboard. My husband loves the movie Overboard. That is a Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell movie. The plot is crazy. She's a really rich, annoying girl. She's spoiled. She falls off her boat, and the guy who does all the handiwork around the boat takes her home, and she has amnesia, and he makes her believe that she's his wife. It's a little creepy, and somehow it works.
That sounds amazing.
And creepy, yeah, but it's really creepy. Good. It's very good. Exit to Eden is a very strange movie. Have you seen Exit to Eden with Rosie O'Donnell? I believe I've seen every Gary Marshall movie.
Yeah, it sounds like you've seen them all.
Regardless of the tone of it, or no, it's Rosie O'Donnell. It is Dana Delaney, Dan Aykroyd, and it's about these folks. It's two undercover cops who infiltrate a robbery. I think it's a ring of thieves on an island that caters to those who want to have sexual adventures. Which you would not think of Gary Marshall, you know? I mean,
yeah, that's an interesting plot there. Okay.
Frankie and Johnny, that's, my God, I have seen all these movies. Without looking up the plot, I could tell you Frankie and Johnny is Al Pacino and Michelle Pfeiffer, and he is the line cook in a diner, and she's a waitress. Really sweet movie. Obviously, The Runaway Bride, which you mentioned. Other Sister, which is I believe, also with Rosie O'Donnell and... who's the skinny? Well, I know who she is, but there's a lot of good movies. Mm-hmm. Valentine's Day, also very good. New Year's Eve was good. Anyway, that's just my own reflection on all the great movies that Gary Marshall directed. His writing, even more extensive than that. More after this on 720 WGN. I wonder if this looming forecast for the next couple of days, are we part of the media, the sort of, you know, we're capitalizing on the sort of the emergency cycle.
Yeah.
Kind of going, oh, it's going to be hot. No, I'm pretty sure it's going to be hot.
Right. We're drumming it up so we can get the ratings. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I can't do that.
Okay.
I don't
know. It's going to be super hot.
It is what it is. Radios are on or they're not.
Right. It's Heatmageddon.
It's in. Oh,
no.
A pock-a-hot.
That is my favorite thing you've ever thought of. A pock-a-hot. It's so simple. It's so good.
A pock-a-hot.
Oh, my God. How are you guys dealing with a pock-a-hot? It's terrible. I have no air conditioning for a pock-a-hot.
It's a pock-a-hot. Esmeralda's not impressed with
that. No, she was laughing
like,
a little bit.
She's like, there could be more creativity. There's more syllables in apocalypse.
A pock-a-hot sounds like a Pokemon.
Or a hot pocket.
It does sound like a hot pocket.
Yeah.
Which is what the city will be. This whole country's going to be in a pock-a-hot.
Esmeralda, you give us one. Create the name for this upcoming heat wave. Give us something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Snowmageddon? Come on. Let's make it one of those.
All right. 312-981-7200.
There we go.
And Esmeralda, we're giving you time. I don't mean to.
I'll think about it.
All right, then.
You can't top a pock-a-hot.
It's just the only thing I think of.
It was so good.
because apocalypse already sort of, you know, it lends itself. It's going to be fiery.
No, I like that kind of brainstorming, too. Like, you stuck with apocalypse no matter what.
No.
And then we just had to work some hot word in.
I couldn't finish it. Apoc-a-hot.
Apoc-a-hot?
Actually, it's the same number of syllables as apocalypse.
Oh, wow.
Apoc-a-hot, apocalypse.
That's really well done.
What's an ellipse? I don't know.
It
seems like halfway there. You got to go all the way apoc-a-hot.
Man, I completely rescind Heatmageddon. That was terrible.
Well, because everything's a Mageddon.
You're right.
I want to go.
Everyone immediately goes Mageddon.
You can't go apocalypse.
It's
end of the world, right?
Apparently this weekend, though, it's going to be like 90-degree weather. It's going to feel like 110 for a couple days.
Yeah, we're already getting all of our grocery shopping out of the way.
That makes sense.
My husband bought a kiddie pool for the backyard, and it has awesome. Cup holders, so apparently I'm getting drunk in my backyard on Saturday. That's happening if anyone wants to stop by. Ooh, Esmeralda, Craig, we are going to see Vamp. Oh, wait, Esmeralda, you have a barbecue on Saturday.
Yeah.
Can you take an hour and a half off to go see the anniversary of Vamp?
I have people coming over, so no.
What time is Vamp? What time is that at?
It's at 10:30.
I am filling in as producer of the David Plyer
you
show.
You took that?
Yeah, I did.
You took it?
Yeah.
Because you're taking time off later.
2 to 5. I don't know what's happening.
2 to 5.
But I'm producing with David.
I can't wait to hear that goes.
Yeah.
You're going to be so tired.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to sit there and he does his thing, so it'll be nice.
All right, then.
I might even nap.
What do I do? What do you do?
Am I
a slave driver?
No, I actually like talking stuff. I don't think he needs me for any of that stuff.
All right, then.
I think I just get to sit there and answer the phone. Very excited.
312-981-7200. Get him working.
Please.
Yeah. No, you've been hung up a couple times tonight.
I have.
Are they already apaca hot?
I don't know. The Trump supporter who's been calling in definitely seems apaca hot.
Because he is a... He is a nemesis. Oh, I've been blown a kiss.
He is Barack Obama's nemesis. He let us know that. He believes that Obama knows about him. So he just wanted to call in and say that he is a big Trump supporter.
Okay, then.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot of, like, reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't have a lot of reasons why he disliked Obama other than the fact that he is his nemesis.
Have you been listening to the coverage from Ro Khan's show?
A little bit. Yeah, on and off, yeah.
312-981-7200. Is it going to be apaca hot in Cleveland?
Ah, that's a good question.
There's a listener that is very upset. I now have admin rights or administrative ability on our Facebook page, Esmeralda, which probably shouldn't have happened. But I feel...
Are you messaging people now?
No, I'm reading their messages about other shows.
Oh.
And there's some people that are... I was like, oh, and I can't... I'm not going to respond because I've learned to let it go. Let it go.
You're forwarding them to the other hosts.
Nobody.
No?
We just let them go and go, huh, that happened. Yeah, I mean, it's if you want to know if your messages are being read, we acknowledge, we smile and nod. I know there are a couple of people that do respond. And
I just realized, are you the only host that has administrative access to that page? I think you are.
I think
you're the only host, yeah.
To respond to a listener who was upset about our band video last night, I've been reading some of the messages, I did focus on the drummer because that was the loudest musician we had in studio. And I panned over, on my own Facebook page, on my personal page, I was able to get more of the Fox and the Hounds. But when I first started, first of all, I'm kind of trapped in my area. There was a lot of equipment in the studio, so I wasn't very mobile. Man, that listener was mad that I didn't take more video of the singers. Again, the drummer was the loudest, so it seemed to make more sense to focus on him so you could see what he was doing. If I'd panned over to the guitarists who were plugged right into the station, they were plugged into the board, as were the singers, you wouldn't have heard very much of them at all.
Right.
It would have been a little bit like they were miming.
Yeah, that's the whole reason why we have an engineer, Bob, mixing all the sound and everything, because what you're going to hear on those videos isn't always going to be crisp.
He's an anti-drumite.
He's an anti-drumite.
Yes, she was. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the Facebook video live, I'm sort of experimenting with. I'm trying not to flood the WGN page with those because it's a little bit of a snippet from each show, I think, that you should get a taste. But I'm improvising as we go, and I do those myself. So if you have a problem with the Facebook live video on WGN's Facebook page, those are all me. Oh, no, Craig actually does a great job because he comes in he has more room on the other side of the board than I do. So that's what's happening. They were great. Did you like Fox and Hounds, Esmeralda?
Yeah, they were good.
They were very good last night. I enjoyed. They're going to be at Shuba's on Friday night. So tell me about this barbecue that you're planning. And not that we're inviting the whole city.
Yeah, no. Sorry, guys.
Sorry, everybody.
Sorry.
I like that you put a 12-hour chunk of time for it, though.
Wow.
That was impressive.
Yeah, that is impressive.
That's very loose.
Yeah.
That's not, it could be longer.
By the way,
could come live there if you wanted to.
Please put that down for Dan Shagru.
I'm sending it in.
Apparently.
As many as we can.
That is at what time?
We're
at
not
12,
even going to repeat
59?
That.
No.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Owen called in. He didn't have a specific idea for what to call the coming Heatmageddon apocahot.
Apocahot.
Right. But he did say that it was going to be commando weather, so maybe we could work commando in somehow.
Commando? Why is it commando weather?
Because if it's that hot out, you don't need to wear underwear.
Oh.
Yeah. He thinks that that's a perfect opportunity to go commando.
Is that really where you need to cool off the most?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I would
really...
think because you're sweating, you need that layer.
Yeah, but it doesn't really
you
cool
protect.
You, especially a guy like the boxer does enough air in there.
Of aerating?
Yeah. I mean, it's you don't need the... Because you still wear the pants.
I'm letting this play because I really love this. I used to want to play the guitar. I had dreams of it, and these chords are really lovely. My husband's learning how to play the guitar, and yeah, he's self-teaching. He's got the acoustic guitar in the basement, his father's guitar, as a matter of fact. Steve's dad was a musician and songwriter. And Griffin, because Griffin's been learning how to play guitar, and he's going to play. I can't say where he's going to play. I think I mentioned it on the air one day, but I don't want to.
It is kind of cool.
He's playing at Martyrs.
Yeah. That's a sentence you can say.
Coming up in a few weeks.
And again, how old is Griffin?
He's 12.
Yeah, he's playing at Martyrs?
He's going to play at Martyrs.
And how long has he been playing guitar for?
2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
he's
pretty cool.
He's been playing Beethoven, Beatles, Paul Simon, and now he's gotten into David Bowie, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And he's also creating some music videos, mostly like with clip art, like he's programming and kind of flipping in photos matched to music. Yeah, he's doing that because he does that kind of thing. Craig, did I see this correctly? There's going to be the giant slip and slide. You and I talked about this earlier today. I don't really understand the appeal. Daphne Scott sent me a link to it.
So confused. I so understand the appeal. Go ahead, keep going.
No, but it's running and flinging yourself on a piece of plastic.
Right. You're on an inner tube and you slide on a giant slip and slide, which is that, you know, plastic tarp that goes on the ground, and it's the biggest one in the country. And it's in the suburbs this weekend, and then I think it's coming to Chicago, or maybe it did already come to Chicago.
Do you dive into the inner tube? I don't understand.
You should. I think with any slip and slide, the first pro thing to do is run. You run and jump.
Okay.
But I think they put them up on these huge hills, so you probably don't need to do that. You get enough momentum anyway.
How are they not? I mean, do they just have a backboard at the end of the slide?
No, you just slide.
No, I'm saying a backboard in the sense that when there are spinal injuries and people crack their necks sideways.
Oh.
You get a mouth guard.
Yeah, you just get a mouth guard for that.
I'm sorry, what just happened?
Yeah, they give you a mouth guard.
Throw in a little mouth guard, you'll be fine.
Implying that they're concerned about your face.
Yeah, well, your teeth.
In particular, your teeth.
You don't want to lose it. You don't want to lose a tooth.
What are you hitting your teeth on then? I'm guessing face
other
plant?
Other people.
Oh, the ground.
Yeah, the ground or other people.
Why
is it
wearing a helmet?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Oh! There's a video on WGNTV.com, by the way. Giant Slip and Slide is opening in the suburbs this weekend.
Helmet not required, but
it's gonna
a good move.
It's going to be in Carpentersville, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
The Ultimate Slider tickets are still available online for $40. So it is the world's largest slip and slide.
That is a bargain to be an Ultimate Slider for $40. And by the way, has it been to Montrose Beach yet? Or is
the 30th. July 30th, it will open.
I'm going.
Okay.
I'm going to do this.
I know that all my friends want to do this as well.
Yeah, you should do it. Well, actually, and the one out in the suburbs this weekend is much bigger. Apparently at Montrose Beach, they don't have a big enough, you know, hill. So they're doing four kind of slip and slides all set up there. So there'll be four of these.
Oh, yeah. It does not look as nice.
Yeah.
I'm seeing
in the suburbs, it's going to be one giant one. And that does sound better.
Carpentersville is a hall. I'm
yeah,
just
I know.
That right
it's a little bit of a hall.
On the 23rd.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, we know the guy. He was on. He did the show when you were out, so, you know.
Did he offer you tickets?
Yeah, we can do this.
Oh.
There's a thing we can do.
This weekend or the 30th?
Whenever we want. He's a pretty cool guy.
Did you ever do the zip lining?
No. They called me a bunch of times and said, you know, since your car broke down the day that all the press came, you can go. And I've been meaning to call them back and do
okay,
that.
Don't go during the apocahot.
Okay.
I'm going to say that
but
right
you'd
now.
You'd get
you
cooled off, though.
No.
You'd be flying in the...
It's all climbing and clipping.
Oh, got it.
Clipping and climbing okay. and clipping.
Okay.
And
so not a whole lot of the
swinging.
Got it.
Yeah. There's a lot of the zip lining. There's a very long zip line. There's some short ones, but so much climbing.
Do you think that they would offer like a person to climb you up if I asked?
Just get a harness?
Yeah, like just a guy that lifts me up there.
Yeah.
And then all I do is the lining.
I don't think that's
maybe that's like a premium ticket.
I'll
give them ideas when I'm there.
Yeah. No. Hey, could you guys just...
Can we do like the package where someone climbs me up to the zip line and then I just ride?
Piggyback? Right. Can I just get on someone's back? And
Who here would not mind carrying me?
I never told you this. They were showing me all the equipment. So you have this harness. You have a belt that clips into all of the pulleys, like all the different cables.
Right.
And in your belt, there is a whistle.
Oh.
An emergency whistle.
That seems helpful.
Yeah. Guess what I needed to do when I have a whistle?
Blow it as much as you can.
I asked them. I said, I would like to see the response of, it's an impressive whistle, by the way. And they're fast. For an emergency. And they came running out of the office. And they were very happy because there were people coming from like all different areas of the zip lining obstacle course. Yeah. They came running.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They just merge on the same location.
I asked for permission, by the way.
You know, you don't need any of the clips or stuff for the giant slip and slide, and you don't get a whistle.
You need a mouth guard.
Right, you do need a mouth guard for your spine.
I don't understand.
Just to protect the spine.
You've done a slip and slide, like a regular front lawn?
Of course.
Oh, God.
I mean, yeah.
It was never my thing.
I did the one with the rain in the middle, the little, like, they put the little thing, and then it shoots rain, kind of. It's just a drizzle.
And no one you knew ever got hurt on the slip and slide?
Oh, yeah. Tons of people got hurt. There were rocks sometimes. Someone put one down and forgot to check for rocks.
Right. They're not a good surface. Esmeralda?
That's why you wait.
Are you a slip and slider?
All my bones have never been broken.
Really?
Because I don't do anything.
Stupid things. You never climbed a tree?
Nah.
What?
No. Have you ever gotten...
All my bones are intact.
Wait a minute. Have you ever gotten stitches?
No.
Okay. I once met somebody that said you're an either or. A lot of people don't get both. Huh.
I stay in my traffic booth.
I'm a broken bone, stitched up girl.
Okay, you're everything.
Ripped, torn, chipped.
See, then you would love slip and slide.
No.
Because that stuff all happens.
Because I've ripped, torn, and stitched. I have a chipped kneecap. I had a broken ankle, torn ligaments.
Honestly, anytime I slip and slide, the first thing I think of is this could be bigger.
All of those injuries just going to times 10
right.
on that slip and slide.
I mean, but it'll be fun up until the injury. There's a lot of fun had.
Are you going to be an all-day slider? Are you going
to
be a
double? I would love to be an all-day slider.
What's a double slider? Oh, you get two rides for $25.
Okay.
Early Bird has sold out. The regular registration. You can go to slidethecity.com for information about the local slip and slides. And this looks pretty. This is Chicagoland area. One in Carpentersville. One at the Montrose Beach. This is Saturday in Carpentersville. This Saturday, the 23rd, and on the 30th, it will be at Montrose Beach.
And this guy invented this in college, of course. He was drinking with some friends and said, you know, what do we need to do? Monetize slip and slide. And now he does it at different cities throughout the United States. So it's not just a Chicago thing. They've done it, I think, in Boston. They've done it a bunch of places.
Well, there are ones that look like they're right down the middle of the city. How great would it be down Michigan Avenue?
To slip and slide Michigan Avenue? That sounds amazing. Mm. Although at some point you would run out of slip and slide and then it would just be concrete.
I would imagine.
And that part would be bad. Because at least it's grass. Grass, for some reason, seems better.
Yeah, once you hit the bridge.
Right.
Right. What they do is, here's what you do. You lift the – you open
launch.
The – You lift one side of the bridge.
Oh, this is a great idea.
Oh, and then you just plummet into
the
river.
So wait, you would need a lot of momentum to go up the bridge to launch in.
Leave this side down.
Okay.
So it's just a straight drop.
Oh.
The other side just has to be open.
Okay.
Right? So you just have a bridge situation like this.
Right, yeah, okay. You're making a Tetris L kind of thing.
So this side's up. So you just slide down Michigan Avenue. Boom, straight into the river.
Can we make this a promotional thing for the radio station? Like, come on down, visit the WGN radio studio and slip and slide into the Chicago River.
How much insurance do they have?
I don't know. Our station?
Or Slip City.
Oh, Slip City probably has a bunch.
All of them, probably.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, I don't know how they make this happen. It's $40, and you can ride as many times as possible between the wave time you choose, or you can just do an all-day pass. Esmeralda, I'm guessing you would you go and observe something like that just to watch people be silly?
Maybe at the end of it, see who runs into anything.
Who survived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, mm-hmm. not the survivors.
You guys
I want
also,
to see the people who slammed
also,
into walls.
You could place bets during to say, like, that guy looks like he's going to get injured. This guy's probably going to make it. You know, that could be fun.
I have to say, most of the sliders on this video seem to be men. I haven't seen that many women. And this is just an observation.
Huh. They do die much quicker than we do, right?
Yeah. Well, I got a little bit of... I have concerns. I have issues. Chris, what's your slip and slide story?
My buddy, we had a barbecue, and we set up two slip and slides together. And
oh, man.
Earlier in the day, you know, the kids are running, and they're slipping and sliding, and the longer the day got, the more we started drinking and the more we thought it would be really cool if we grabbed the kids by their T-shirt.
Oh, no. And fling them?
And their diapers. And fling them down the slip and slide. And they loved it. They loved it. They thought it was hysterical.
Until
we got drunk and we thought we should do that.
Mm-hmm. Fling each other by your diapers down the slide?
No diapers, but just... five drunken guys running as fast as they can on a lawn down slip and slide.
Uh-huh. Sounds great.
And the next day there was broken ribs and hospital visits, and it wasn't good.
Jeez. Wow.
But it was fun. From what I remember, it was fun.
See?
But the next day wasn't so fun.
Wow. Are you going to slip slide the city in Carpentersville or at Montrose Beach?
Absolutely not.
slide the barbecue is what you did. Wow.
I have slipped and slide for a lifetime. Thank you.
Well, it's memorable. And I'm glad you have healed, Chris.
Thank you, Patty. Great show as always.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a good night. I don't know if I can go. I don't know, Craig. Although I do sometimes worry about Griffin, that he's not as adventurous because maybe I have, shielded him. Maybe I've protected him too much.
There's a really good episode of Modern Family that sort of dealt with that recently.
Oh, really? Where her kids are not adventurous?
No, where one of the guys doesn't think that he could raise a boy because he's not adventurous enough. He doesn't do crazy stuff. And then it ends with them blowing up a birdhouse, which was great, too, with a little firework or something.
See, but you can go your life with never slip and sliding.
Yeah.
Or climbing a tree.
Right.
Or riding too fast at something and flipping over the handlebars of your bike.
And your bones will never be broken. You'll never have stitched Esmeralda style.
I'm saying you're Esmeralda. Or is one of our favorite people on the planet.
You could slip the city, slide the city.
Exactly. We're losing. I know. I can't.
I have saved so much money. Not being stitched or
Esmeralda,
broken.
You can go.
I know when it's going to rain, Esmeralda, okay? I can tell days ahead of time when the barometric pressure drops.
Right.
You
can't put a value on that.
It's going to rain. So please.
Money invested well.
The people like me, if it's your knee or your shoulder and you know when it's going to rain, you're like, oh, it's a big storm coming. This is a big one. And you don't get any relief until it actually rains, until it all breaks open. Because it does. It feels like the pressure on your kneecap. Oh, it hurts so much.
Wow.
It's going to rain tomorrow.
Do you have like a speed dial to Skilling? You should share this information with him.
I should, just to see when I'm right.
Right.
Like, we could match that up.
Put it in the end of his report, and Patty's knee is not registering anything today.
He can graph it. Here's how Patty's knee is. Now, is it your knee and your ankle and shoulder? Or is it, because the knee and the ankle together, that means it's impending.
Okay.
Right. And if I can't walk.
Do you have a time frame on this kind of stuff?
My hip hurts today, as a matter of fact.
Got it.
Yeah. Usually within about 2 days.
Okay.
312-981-7200. I am not the only one who can tell when it's going to rain. 312-981-7200. Call or text. Do you know when it's going to rain? Because, oh my God, it hurts too much. Because tomorrow's another day, and I'm thirsty anyway. So bring up. Please bring on the rain so my knee can feel better. Although it's going to rain and then it's going to get muggy and then crazy hot with a paka hot. It's going to be all kinds of hot.
What happens to your knee then?
With the heat?
Yeah.
I'm just miserable. I'm too miserable to notice whether or not my knee or ankle hurt. It's the truth. I don't process heat very well. I don't release heat.
We are getting some great texts from the 815. Let's create the Pat Knee app.
Pat Knee app. So I can give you a heads up.
Right.
If you have my app, you can get a heads up on when the rain is coming.
Skilling's got his app. We should put out our own weather app.
I'm going to say the rain's coming like sometime in late afternoon tomorrow.
Is there varying degrees of pain?
Oh, yes. Oh, there are times when I'm absolutely immobile. It hurts so badly.
So is that a severe thunderstorm warning?
That is a torrential downpour with possibility of tornadoes touching down.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. What a drizzle. What's drizzle?
Oh, that's fine. Just a little bit. No, I get a little bit of
my
ankle gets sore.
Oh.
Yeah. If it's my knee and my ankle, it's horrible.
Okay.
A really great idea from the 773. Hey, guys, since you're talking so much about weather today, why don't you wake up Tom Skilling at 150?
Do we have his number at home?
I do.
Don't wake him up.
No, it's not.
I probably...
You just looked at me. The first reaction you had, I know you gasped on the air, but your eyes actually said, how could you not have told me this sooner?
What?
I do. I have his cell and his house number.
I think when it's a night with impending, I think Thursday night going into Friday, when the weather is going to be apoca-hot.
And maybe if we have him on, because we were talking about having him on at the beginning of the show,
maybe
we'll make a joke so he expects the call.
Yeah, because tonight we're calling the RNC,
right.
Our friends that are... in Cleveland. We have Representative John Anthony, who we have not heard from. I texted him and asked him for an update and never responded.
Oh.
He was a delegate at large, and I wanted to know, or maybe a super delegate. I want to know how he voted. Yeah, I think so. So anyway, yes, the other texts.
From the 773, Wrightney tells me if it'll be a drizzle or downpour within a 3-hour period of the approaching storm.
I am not the only one.
You are not the only one.
I am not the only one. Esmeralda, if you've just been injured once or twice in your life, you might have this.
I too will know when it rains.
There you go. See? You can't put a price
on this crippling
stuff.
Pain.
Right. Unless it's just a drizzle, that's not so. But from the 847, I know when it's going to rain when Tom Skilling says it's going to rain. He is the Chuck Norris of weather forecasters.
He really is.
Really, yeah.
He's a master.
So can you, do you just have to avoid Florida completely?
Oh, God. Yeah. I only know our meteorological, like, landscape here.
This How was Ireland? I have to stay here. What was it like visiting Ireland?
So drizzly. It was constant. Although I was younger. I was much younger, too. So right. I think the wear and tear of life has had an impact. It's true. I was much younger when I went to Ireland. I was wee in my 20s. That was unnecessary, and
no,
I apologize to all of our Irish friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. I'm really glad that we now know this.
That I can predict the weather. With my knee.
We should steer into it.
No. Steer into it.
We should. There's a lot of things we can do now that you're essentially a weather forecast.
That sounds like when you're in a tailspin, you steer into the spin.
I always steer into stuff, yeah.
All right. Then.
I feel like we should put you on top of the building.
Yep.
Like one of those rooster vanes.
The next time there's supposed to be a storm, let's have you broadcast from the 22nd floor or whatever.
I like that.
And see how much pain you're in.
Yeah. And it's funny because I do get a lot of relief from the actual rain. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Now, if we put you up higher, would that benefit your abilities?
I would imagine it has more of an impact. You know, the higher you are, right?
Got it.
The closer you are to the pressure.
Would we have to, like, give you, like, metal stuff to hold or something? Okay, no.
Oh,
yeah, we don't want you struck by light.
Nope. But perhaps I need to wear less clothing. I don't know. Less layers.
Yeah, at least go commando.
Well, like that guy.
No, that's not where I need to cover up or take coverage off of.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? I do. I broke my growth plate in my ankle when I was 13 or 14 years old, and it never healed right, and then I chipped my kneecap.
Where's the growth plate?
It's in the middle of your ankle.
Oh.
That's what we all call them. I don't know if you guys call them by that now.
Yes.
But he broke his ankle as a kid, and now he's lopsided.
Aww.
He shattered it.
What did he do?
How
it just,
lopsided
it just grew.
He?
Oh.
But yeah, he is a bit lopsided, like an inch or two.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Does he know when it's going to rain?
I don't think so.
You should ask him.
Did he get any superpowers from
injuring
himself?
No, he's just lopsided now.
Okay.
Doesn't feel like a superpower.
If he runs on the, like, he would be even if he, like, runs on a... Like on a ledge.
I mean, some of the X-Men didn't get powers. They just looked weird. Does that make sense?
Yeah, there you go. That's
Broken growth plate. Let me see if I can find that.
I looked up growth plate.
I think most of your joints have growth plates. Anyway, it's injured. When you injure that, it's very painful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it means you snapped it all the way into the middle.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
I broke my arm in three places.
That's
the only thing I ever did.
How'd you do that?
I was throwing logs into a baby pool.
I'm sorry. Was this when your doll, like, flung out and ended up under the tire?
No, that was a different time. When I was in the baby pool, my mother ran over my Buddy doll and launched the head into the baby pool. That was a traumatic day.
I thought that was the same day as the logs, no?
No, there was another time where we cut down, like, a really small tree, and me and my friends were all throwing the logs into the baby pool to see who could make the biggest splash. And I made it, but I tripped over a log behind me as I threw and broke my arm in three places.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was... And they all ran. Like, all my friends just ran away.
Yeah, that's what you do. No good can come of your injury. We can't be witnesses to this.
I mean, I immediately stood up and my bone was like dangling and stuff. It was gross.
Yeah.
And all I saw were their butts.
They knew that questions would be asked. Why weren't you paying attention? How did you let this happen?
Who was there?
Whose fault is this? Right. Yeah, no. No, 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 no. You don't want to be a witness.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know first aid yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my mom didn't know first aid either because when she put me in the car, she brought a Bible. She put my wrist in the Bible. She said it would help.
Did she wrap it around?
No, she laid a Bible in my lap and put my hand on it. She goes, this will help.
Oh, to elevate it.
Right, yeah.
And also
but she had to pick
the energy.
Right.
No, I mean, you know, good energy.
The story stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, the thoughts.
That's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Are you good when someone else gets injured?
No. I'm bad at that. Blood scares me.
I have been in the past very good at it. And then, I've never told this story.
Oh, go ahead.
We
should have some sort of sounder for when you tell a story for the first time.
I know because I tell somebody the same again and again.
No, that's not what I meant.
I know, it's fine. I am usually very good in an emergency. I am trained in first aid. Hold on, I'm getting all choked up.
Oh my God, this is a really emotional. This is a difficult one. Patty's gonna soldier through it. She's gonna get us through this whole story.
Okay. Actually, I think it's actually two stories. In college, a friend of mine went to go pop open a security door that had a whole glass middle. He put his hand through it and cut his wrist from the bottom of his his thumb all the way down about 4 or 5 inches, and it was all the way to the bone.
Oh no!
And I held him. I held his arm up, held the opening closed until paramedics came.
You had blood just, falling all over you.
Oh, I ruined my jacket was ruined, okay. But no, blood everywhere, and it was just fine. And I was just, you know, I kept him calm. He wanted to run because he'd had a few cocktails, and he thought he was going to be in trouble, just like your friends. He wanted to get away from the destruction. He thought he had broken something. Well, he had broken the window. So the paramedics came, and he ended up being in surgery. They had to, like, the muscle and all of that had to be, it was like hours and hours and hours of surgery. So I was very proud. I'm like, oh, I helped that guy. I mean, arteries and everything.
Yeah.
He could have bled out. So,
you saved a life.
Was
that the lifeguard in you just there? Like, yeah, I saved one. That's fine.
Well, that's what you do. I mean, and at the time my, you know, alertness was, you know, heightened. I was spot on. I was a lifeguard at the time.
Right.
So in various situations, I've been good about injuries. I'll see someone, if someone collapses on the street and I just know what to do. I go into emergency mode. So when Declan was a baby, it was a St. Patrick's Day, and we were leaving the house a little bit late. We wanted to go celebrate. We were going to the Abbey Pub for some corned beef and cabbage. And Steve was putting Declan into the, he had him in the car seat, and he went to strap him in. And I opened the passenger door before Steve had, I didn't realize that Steve's face was there. And,
oh no.
Yeah. So I opened the door and just slice him open from about the, like around the eyebrow all the way to his scalp.
He doesn't even have an awesome scar.
He does.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he's got a, it's pretty significant. He's got a score. He's got a scar. It's about 2 inches long, right about there.
Well, that's cool.
And so I opened the door and just, and I think maybe it's because I did it that I became completely paralyzed. I was like, ah! Like, I wasn't grossed out or anything, but like my mind, instead of helping him or doing anything for him, I'm like, I have to get the insurance card.
I also don't know. I think the face is different. I think bleeding from the face, there's something scarier about that.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, and he was more on top of it than I was. I ran into the, why I went inside for the insurance cards. I'm like, I'll be right back. I'll take you to the hospital. First, I need our insurance cards.
We've got to make sure that we have insurance.
I need Blue Cross Blue Shield in this situation. I did. I was like, I got to get my card. And I went in the house and like stood in my bedroom. Steve's outside bleeding from the head. He grabs a diaper and just is sitting on the curb when I go back out there. The boys are both in their seats and he's just sitting there with a diaper on his head. And I'm like, to this day, I'll never understand why I wasn't able to help him or help with the wound or stop the bleeding. I was in the emergency room. I was able to help him and make sure that we got a plastic surgeon down there to take a look, make sure that they could, you know, suture it in a way that would, you know, be seamless. Oh, such a mess. But to this day, now it's been about 8 years, I still say, watch your head. Watch your head. Watch your face. Watch your face. Watch your head. I'm very cautious of closing and opening doors. On
yeah. Now that makes sense. That
I makes a lot of sense. Face
I open. Think face is different. I think that's what it was. And maybe that it was your fault.
It was totally my fault. Yeah. Then I did it once. I brought a speaker down on my head. I think I've told this story.
Yeah, I think you've told this one.
Oh, that was brutal.
Why do you injure yourself so much?
I don't know. I'm not Esmeralda.
To
Esmeralda
tell the
cautious.
Weather, that's why.
Exactly, yeah.
She needs to know when it's going to rain.
More superpowers.
This was the worst. It sliced my, it was in my hairline, so it was not as bad as Steve's open wound on his forehead. Right. But it was back here. And when they put staples into your scalp, that's not.
How does that feel when they're doing it?
Oh.
Is it weird?
Well, first they do the Novocaine, the local, right?
Okay.
And you can hear that crackle against your skull.
They do local Novocaine in your skull.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Sure.
So the guy goes, oh, we just need to put two in, right? So he's on the, he does the one, pop, pop. Right. That's what it sounded like to me. It was a lot louder.
Did your head move a lot?
I was very good about like being still and not losing my cool.
Got it.
And I was like, okay, you know, I was bracing myself. So he does one, he does two, and he goes, I lied. And I had already like held on with enough calmness.
They always lie.
That's when I started laughing hysterically. I'm like,
you went crazy.
There were people like coming to our sort of the curtained area. Is everything okay in here? So you're scaring the other patients.
Right.
Sorry.
We've created a supervillain.
Yeah.
That is intense.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Craig, you were saying that we had more suggestions for my ability to predict a storm with my knee?
Correct. From the 773, I wait tables and we all go by how my knee feels, like if it's going to be busy outside or if we should shut everything down for rain. My son also gets headaches now when storms are coming.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's not great.
So maybe sinus pressure, too. Oh, wow. That's unfortunate.
Another text from a different 773. By the way, Patty, you should try BioFreeze. It is a gel that works really well on aches. No scent, no grease, works really fast, and a lot of therapists and physical therapists recommend it.
That's a great suggestion. Please, mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
BioFreeze. Have you tried that?
I've gotten like samples of it.
Okay.
And I always think, and I always put it somewhere and think, oh, when I really need that, I'll use it. Samples in packets are the worst for me. Like if they come in a little tube or something, I don't know why I'm more likely because, oh, I know why. When they put them in packets, like sealed, rip open, like ketchup packets is what they look like. When you rip them open, it's always more than you need. And so I like try to like.
And you can't save that.
And you can't save that.
No.
Or if you do, you like tuck it somewhere else and then you forget that it's there. Now you've squirted that all over.
Yeah, it's going to be all over. Yeah. It's going to squirt everywhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh boy.
It just leaks and leaks.
So yeah, that's why I have BioFreeze packets. I just have never used them because I want to make sure I'm going to use the entire thing. I don't want to be wasteful.
So only a super storm.
I should just go ahead and order a bottle of it.
You should.
All right, then.
Okay.
And you should use the packets for travel.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Thank you for that.
Give the packets out.
There you go. Yeah. No. Here. Now you try and use it all at
once.
You
do it. You deal with this problem.
Let's see how you work
this
out.
Your life's ruined.
Here's your packet. I used to love using Bengay because I actually like the smell of Bengay, which I think is a similar, I think the soothing properties of BioFreeze.
It makes me think of my grandfather. It does. He had Bengay all the time.
All the time.
I think he bathed in it.
What a strange name for a product, by the way.
Really, that is.
It was always fun to play with that, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Have you? No. Yes. Bengay, of
Bengay?
Course.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Why not?
I love that smell. It makes your eyes water a little bit.
A little bit.
I used when I played basketball at Our Savior Lutheran Norwood Park.
Sure.
I used to slather myself. I was the center on the team, and I would
you
slather.
You were the center?
I was the center. I was 5'6", and
okay.
I was the center. Remember?
Yeah,
whatever
I feel
you
like
do, don't dribble.
Yeah,
I was the tallest. And I would slather myself in Bengay so that no one would guard me. No one wanted to get close to me.
Yeah.
Because I was like this sort of, I had this barrier.
You were really slippery.
I was odoriferous.
Too.
Well, that too.
Right.
But I smelled.
You probably got a lot of rebounds. You just
I did.
In there. Yeah.
Just got in there, and everyone like just collapsed. From the odor.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
That's critical
really
thinking
trick.
Right there. Yeah.
Did you Bengay at
strategic.
All when you played baseball?
No, why? You're so far
know.
Away. I'm in center field.
Maybe you found a benefit to that?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
All right.
There you go. Actually, I did work out a lot when I was I was an athlete. I haven't been in it. I mean, I do CrossFit now, although it's been a while. Don't tell anybody.
Okay, I won't. All right,
then.
Good.
I've got to get
Secret
back on
safe.
The stairwell.
Oh.
Let's do it.
The stairwell is not CrossFit. That is your own thing that you really like doing all
I
the
know.
Time.
Let's go after the show.
Yeah. Esmeralda, let's all go after the show.
She's still
I know
working.
She's doing stuff.
I know.
Maybe she can take a handheld mic.
All right, then.
Yeah. Again, I don't really break anything or cut myself. That's because
I
stay in one place.
It'll add
I don't
a lot,
do much.
It'll add a lot to the next show if you're running in stairwells while you talk to him.
I also don't run in stairwells, to be fair, by the way.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I climb. That's
right.
It. The running, the people who run, they're annoying.
I know.
And good on them.
Yeah, at the Fight for Air Climb, the people who ran were impressively annoying.
They really were. But I dance in the stairwells. I will say that. I had my music playing the entire time.
I ran up some stairs once. I almost fell on my face at the top because my knees started giving out.
Well, not only that, but your brain also goes, how high do I step up for the next step? So you miscalculate sometimes. I've fallen trying to run upstairs, too. It's the other reason I don't run. Mm-hmm. What, Craig? Why are you laughing?
I'm just so this is such good information.
Have you ever gone down a flight of stairs in the dark and thought there was another step?
I so hate you... stairs and darkness in general.
Right.
Up, down, any scenario where I'm mounting stairs without light.
Yes.
That is a very scary
thing. It's disorienting,
scenario.
Isn't
it? Yeah,
because
it
you don't, it's not like you know
I also
intuitively.
Hate just finding, even if I'm not trying to go up a stair, finding like a step if it's around somewhere.
Oh, that's jarring.
Yeah.
A little stumble.
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever gone downstairs in the dark and thought there were more stairs, and then you have that weird sort of bang into the ground level, and there's no more stairs?
Yes, I've
you
done
keep
that.
Walking for yeah. another stair.
That's awful.
Yeah. Okay, just,
every part of it. Stairs should always be lit.
They should always be lit.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just don't have a light.
Well,
that's
should,
why
we should light the stairs.
Flashlights. That's why we have our phones.
You there. Should light the stairs, though. Like, there should be a little light thing that's always in stairs. That should be a thing about stairs.
Like in the air, like in airplanes.
Yeah. Exactly, like in the airport.
Emergency lighting would be great.
Or just someone standing there at all times with those light thingies.
That's a great idea.
Directing you.
Why don't we have like stare directing people? That seems great.
And expensive.
And maybe they would put their hand up and even like help us down.
Oh, that's
one
good.
For every home.
Well, do you want their hand? I think more on your elbow, right?
Yeah. So well, like, now we don't even need
unintrusive.
We don't need people. This could be robots. We could get stare robots. That's a thing that could happen. Everyone's silent now.
Oh, there you go. No, stare robots are good.
That's a good idea.
Stare robots taking people's jobs.
For the non-existent stare people.
Well, we just created the job.
Yeah. This article we were going to talk about, that Nike has started a campaign for plus size. You and I talked about this. There's already an article on SheKnows.com about why this shouldn't be a big deal. It shouldn't be a big deal. It should just be... We're not just going to hire size zero is all it should say. It should just be we're not going to have size two. I don't get – what do you think plus size means, Esmeralda? Because I think that you and I are not size zero. We are not size two. We are not size six. So that puts us both in the category of plus size as far as the industry is concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, no, no. I would be – yeah, I'd probably be – I'm in a like a low-level plus size.
Yeah.
Plus size to me when I always – well, when I see it in the sense of an ad – it's always just someone who's bigger.
Right.
They're not necessarily...
than the girls they usually hire. Bigger than... the problem is like bigger than what, right?
They're just a little wider than the other girls. But they're still pretty proportionate and smooth.
There's a woman in the Nike ad that's spectacular. She's doing a yoga pose where she's basically pulling one... she's folded like a pretzel and pulling one of her toes up to the back of her head. And I know plenty of women who are size zero that can't achieve that. So if you're featuring athletes in your ads, it shouldn't be, you should make a big deal out of, hey, we hired plus size models. It should just be your campaign.
By the way, if you Google plus size, the definition that comes up is a size larger than the normal range.
So what's the normal range?
Exactly.
Okay.
That is very confusing.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is one of the things I often think about is when they say plus size models, right? You have your models, size zero, size two, maybe. And then you have plus size models. They rarely ever go, they never say medium. There's no medium. They don't say, I've been to auditions. They never say medium. They'll say curvy. They'll say plus size. They'll catch me on the way. There was one, I actually posted this on Facebook, on the way they called me and they said, can you fit into a small shirt? And I said, yes, but it won't button. Just so you know.
Well, what's confusing too is there is no skinny. There is no like tiny then. Mm-mm. Regular is being small and being regular is being big. It's like ordering something at Starbucks. I get very confused with the sizes.
Well, there's petite.
No, there's petite.
That's a size?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a category of
model?
More sizes.
Got it.
Is
there such a thing as like a petite model?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because there's stores dedicated to petite women.
So then why doesn't anybody complain when we do like petite sizes?
Because they're tiny. They don't...
Well,
they need food.
For fashion shows and for models, they still typically want people who are tall, too.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. They want them to be tall and long-limbed.
Okay.
No high-end designer designs for petite, tiny women.
That's a good point she's making. Let me see. Petite. There's models.
Petite's like short pants.
Women who are 5'3 and under are considered petite.
See, okay. And I can't wear, like when you go buy jeans and it's short, they look like waiters on me. But if I buy regular, they're really long.
Well, I can't get... oh, this is going to be so much information for Craig. I have very short legs and a long torso, so I could actually wear things in petite for jeans, but I can't wear the dresses because they don't reach far enough for the...
they're too short.
...my torso.
Mm-hmm. You see, I have the problem... like, skirts, they're too long.
I go to the store, and I look for 33, 32.
Yeah, guys have it much easier. You guys get the... you get the leg size.
Yeah, sometimes
we don't
I'm
get
32,
that.
32, and every once in a while I got to go to 34.
I'm at the point now where I realize I've got to get things tailored. I'm just going to buy things and take them to a seamstress.
No, that is, I've always read that's always the best thing
that
because
sounds
the
terrible.
Sizes are, you're different. So something could fit you sort of okay, but if you take it to the tailor, it will fit you fantastically.
How expensive is that?
I don't know. I've never tried
it. I think it depends on what it is.
Can you guys do stuff yourself?
No.
Okay. No.
No. No, because there's gathered, like there's, where do you take the material from? Like, let's say it's a top that you want to have it sort of fitted in the waist.
Mm-hmm.
I think they go along the seams and
they do stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. They tear them open and I don't know how that works.
Like she said, They do. They tear them open.
I have a pair of shorts that need mending. Mm-hmm. They unsewed themselves on the edge. I don't know how to do that. I bought some fabric tape just to tape it up. Because I don't know how to
that works.
Sew that.
There you go. Yeah. I have fabric tape and I have fabric glue for any sort of emergencies. Yes.
I don't know.
They've unglued. So.
When my pants don't work anymore, I get new pants.
My pants don't work.
These pants
anymore.
Are perfectly fine, though.
Yeah.
What? But you got to do work on them. You got to tape them.
Did you notice something in Ghostbusters the first time? I think it's the first time Chris Hemsworth comes in for the job.
Yeah.
He not only are his jeans rolled up, okay, he's got like, they're folded up.
Sure.
He has a knee patch on his jeans, which made me laugh. Because when I was a kid, like, we used to have knee patches, like me. And I thought that was really cute. Because there was a point when the boys were really little that was like the way I would relax was sewing patches on the jeans that they had worn out the knees on.
Oh, nice.
And because I mean, like 2-3 years old, it's still cute.
Yeah.
But Chris Hemsworth, full on adult. The wardrobe person, the costume designer, decided that jeans with a patch on them.
I did not even notice that a bit.
Why would you?
Yeah. Did it have a zigzag?
They actually sewing. I think they were actually. I know. I did for my boys. I did do that. I tried remembering all the different stitches my mom used to teach me.
Is it a plaid patch?
Plaid patch. But I think the patch was like either floral or paisley.
It was a floral patch in a pair of jeans.
Let me see. Yeah, you can do different patterns. It's okay. A piece of fabric on the knee.
Yeah, I don't know what a floral patch is.
My knees don't go bad. Do your knees go bad on the jeans?
Not anymore.
Mine's always the crotch.
What?
Mine always wear out at the crotch.
What? What are we
not
doing?
Not anymore.
I said not anymore on the knees. Yeah, I don't wear them out on the knees anymore.
Where did the rundown for the show go?
It seems like I've been married for a while is the joke for me. Yeah. And then for the other, I don't know where else to go.
Yeah, I don't know how to.
I don't know. Is it? Yeah.
What are we calling?
Repetitive motion is why the crotch rot.
Yeah. Yep.
Because of the.
I got chub rub.
Standing and sitting.
No, I just got chub rub.
What are we saying?
Words.
What does that mean?
Words. What's
you've never heard of that? Chub rub.
I don't even know what a floral pattern is.
Because my thigh, I'm not skinny. My thighs smushed together. Yeah, chub rub.
I got friction. We mean that we have friction.
Yeah. I could start a fire down there.
That ruins the jeans somehow?
Yeah, it tears them open, wide open.
Repetitive motion is going to have its way.
But then you guys repaired the jeans?
My mom, I've given them to my mom, and she's tried, and then I just rip them back open. It's real bad.
I'm trying to find these jeans on Chris Hemsworth.
I don't know what we're talking about.
Don't you?
Esmeralda's got chub rub.
Yeah, no, a lot of women have chub rub.
Okay. All right.
She means chubby. Not the thing that you're thinking of.
No, is that something that I can, like, ask at a party then? Like, do any of you guys deal with chub rub?
I don't really ask women if they have chub rub.
Don't open with that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's not
we
something.
We work to that.
Yeah. Some women don't want to
so
say that.
So it's not
that
universal.
Their thighs rub together.
Got it. Okay.
Or they touch.
We don't enjoy the thigh gap.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's friction.
I'm confused about the thigh gap. Is that really a thing?
They want to be able to be skinny.
I know they all try, but I feel like that's Photoshop.
Oh, no. There are women who are skinny enough.
Thigh gap?
But their hips then have to be far enough apart for their legs not
to
be.
Yeah, they just got skinny legs. Or
really far apart legs.
Yeah. Well, you can't patch that up. Let's do our last call with Representative John Anthony when we come back on set. I'm not going to ask him about chub rub after this on 720 WGN. Wake me up before you go, go. Don't leave me hanging. Oh, it's time to place our late night, a pretty late wake-up call. Or is it pretty late wake-up call? We haven't decided, really. The wake-up call or last? I like last call better. We're waking them up, possibly, because most people, aside from us and those of you listening right now, and if you're listening on our podcast, thank you so much for finding us on WGNRadio.com and on iTunes. Everyone can go to those websites and find all of our shows right there. Hello? It sounded like somebody was there. We're calling Representative John Anthony, who is in Cleveland for the Republican National Convention.
Call has been forwarded to...
Yes, we won't put his number on the air. That's one of the things that we definitely try to maintain, the privacy of our friends of the show. He is, he's been there, I believe,
record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hello, Representative Anthony. This is Patty Vasquez.
Craig Collins.
And Esmeralda Leon.
We wanted to call and see how things are going in Cleveland and what your thoughts are on the Republican National Convention. Hope you're having a great time. We also want to make sure that you are aware that there are some people who have come down with the norovirus. So please make sure you wash your hands. And if you see someone who's looking a little nauseous, stay away from them.
Right. Maybe even start up the quarantine to quarantine some people.
You want to maybe rope off some areas where you think people might be questionable. But I hope you're having a good time. I hope that it's everything that you'd hope for. I heard Representative Cabello introduce the head of the committee for the delegates of Illinois. And then that gentleman, I believe, said that he was from the great state of Illinois with the greatest governor in the country. We were wondering what your thoughts were on the fact that that great governor is not actually at the convention. And there have actually been there have been national broadcasters who have said that the governor of Illinois does not support Trump, which I believe is not accurate. But are they taking his absence as a sort of rescinding of his support for the candidate? I'm not entirely sure. We also wanted to know which speeches you have had the opportunity to enjoy. Were you there last night for Michelle Obama? I mean, for what's her name? Melania?
Melania?
Okay.
Melania Trump? Were you there for Melania Trump's?
How is it spelled? M-E-L-A-N-I-A.
Yeah.
Melania.
Melania.
Okay. How is Melania not a way of possibly seeing it?
Were you there for that Trump girl's speech?
Oh, that's, that's how good. I sound. I sound very dismissive.
No, it's fine.
I can't get it right. I'm more frustrated with myself.
Melania.
Melania Trump's speech last night. Mm-hmm. We want to know what your thoughts were. She had a lovely dress. A lot of people talking about her dress today. That's another way to go,
right.
I think.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
By chance, did you see Michelle Obama's very similar version of the speech?
Of the speech. Not the same dress, though. Thankfully.
Yeah, not the same dress.
Oh, that would have been weird.
That would have been
when
weird.
When she wore white, when people started talking about the importance of her dress, and it had like these, you know, very elegant sleeves, and it's a short cocktail dress, but I also thought did it seem kind of like an afternoon wedding dress also? Like here's your the bride of the Republican Party.
Oh, okay. For a second I was like, that would be rude to wear white.
No, like she was the bride.
Okay.
Like, here we're introducing you to she's our national wife.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I could see it. For a cash wedding.
That was kind of a weird thought.
So we all married Melania the other day?
Yeah, kind of.
Wow. All right.
It's kind of like when you wear like girls wear white for their first communion.
Right.
That kind of had that sort of being presented. Or debutantes when you're a debutante ball, like a Beaux-Arts ball.
Now I just thought of Gilmore Girls. Now you just made me.
She also wears white. Rory.
She did.
Exactly. When you're being presented to society, you wear a white gown.
Exactly.
So that was kind of the thing I flashed to. Just some ponderings that I have for Representative Anthony. We hope you're having a great time. Safe travels, sir. Everyone stay tuned for Nick D. He is up next. And coming up tonight, we have Hal Sparks will be on our show at midnight. And also Brandon C. Price will be joining us. We'll talk about the celebration that VAMP has coming up this weekend.